morning. Hot.
How's it going, everybody?
Hey, everybody.
Pretty good.
Hey, that was a hot live hot.
Is this a different hot than normal?
Yes, it is. So I can see it. I can fucking see it.
How is it different hot?
It's OBS hot.
Oh, snap.
Oh, shit.
I guess it is.
Oh. That's
good. We're finally in the future.
Something like that.
The free
by going into the simpler
going
free
into
past.
Gerber baby pass.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So nothing fancy. All we do is
let's have a podcast.
We just work the basics over here, and we have like nothing fancy.
Let's
just
talk into microphones.
Okay. I can hear you guys.
Are you plugged in?
I'm plugged into something.
All right.
That's what he said.
So yeah. I mean. Whatever. It's fine.
Is it not this?
We'll see if this works. I don't know. That's a headphone jack. You should plug your headphones into
it.
I
did.
See what happens.
That's... I heard a little...
No, nothing?
No, sorry. I just got to turn it a little bit.
Yeah, that's
right. Oh, there it is.
You're good. You're good. You're good.
There's something. I'll get it one day.
All right.
We always need new cables in this
fucking place. 197 podcasts.
Why is every single cable a piece of shit?
Well,
it's like light bulbs. They're designed to fail after a while.
I think it's a conspiracy to make you buy more.
Yeah.
Every single micro USB cable we have ever used in our personal or professional lives has failed us way too quickly. Oh.
Okay, I think micro USBs are different in that I think micro USBs are actually a flawed product.
Yeah.
Like, cables designed to fail are one thing, and like charging you a lot for HDMI
but
cables is another.
Micro USB, you're saying, is like a core flaw.
Because about 50% of them fail.
And they all
experience.
Fail in the same
60%
way.
60% of the time.
The metal part is too small, and then the way
whatever
it's,
you
it's
plugged
stuck
it
into the hinge is too heavy, and then if it touches anything, it goes, it's dead.
You can't support the actual weight for some reason of the controller or the fucking... like charger or on like I mean even a phone that's heavy enough can break it if it falls.
Yes.
It's fucking trash.
This phone could destroy it.
There's also like a whole industries are founded on the shittiness of products that need to then be replaced.
Like our show.
Something
no,
like
it's
that.
An entertainment product.
We're replacing TV, man.
That's true. Although TV's better now than it's ever
nah,
been.
Man. People who are listening to this podcast, they could be watching Bones or NCIS or whatever.
Well,
but
I'm talking
nah,
like,
man.
I'm talking that, like American Gods.
Oh, yeah.
And like,
yeah, yeah.
And like Game of Thrones.
Oh, no.
Or, I don't know, Twin Peaks.
No, we're replacing the bad TV.
Okay.
But the no, yeah, because this is like it's all on demand stuff. So you can do whatever you want.
But it premieres at a certain time.
It does.
And our stuff is on demand as well.
It is. Yeah, it is. This is effectively, I mean, this is happening at a point in time, but that really shouldn't be relevant at all.
You can listen to this podcast 8 years from now when we're all dead in that accident.
Yeah,
so,
that one.
Yeah. And if and if you're doing it normally and in the intended way, you're listening to this at noon on Tuesday.
Oh.
And the new Mystery Science Theater, there's this joke where
if not, you're a criminal.
Where Felicity Day goes, "I'll be the queen of the TV airwaves," and Patton Oswalt goes, "That's not a thing anymore. We're on an on-demand service, and people can tune in at any time. It doesn't really work like that. TV's been..."
Even,
and she's like, "What?"
Even broadcast right. TV is more or less on demand with the proliferation of the TiVo now.
I've heard about that. What was the thing before it? You did...
Taping with your VHS?
No. It was before TiVo where you pre-recorded stuff. It had a name. Whatever. The Zune.
Yeah, of course.
There was a Zune in between there.
Good old Zune, right.
Something like that.
Good old brown piece of shit Zune.
I had to watch someone make a huge, massive mistake in their life where they're like, the iPhone was out, the whatever was out, and they're like, "I'm going to buy a Zune."
What?
And I proceeded to go... "What is that?" And
this
then
is, okay.
Went, yeah.
Before you knew what it was?
Yeah.
Or you,
it was
okay.
Back in the day.
Because if you did know what it was, your duty was to then
stop
them.
But then I was
them.
Like, "Why are you getting the thing no one's heard of?" And then she's like, "No, but I don't want to. I don't support Apple." I'm like, "That, but you should in this instance because I don't know what you're buying. What is that?"
That's a poor
It's like
decision.
When you meet people today and they're like, "I have a Windows phone." And I'm like, oh, what?
They haven't even made those in like 2 or 3
years.
Yeah,
I suffered through
those
for a bit.
Because people refuse to get anything new. And I get that. It took me like years to get a smartphone, right?
Mm-hmm. I was also behind the curve on that.
But they would be like, yeah, my Windows phone. I'm like, uh-huh. And then during the day, they'd be like, my phone's so shitty. I can't do anything with it. I'm like, then why do you still have that?
Yeah, that one was always the weirdest. Like, oh, man, I'm all about this company, this thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, okay. And then 10 minutes later, they're like, oh, this fucking piece of shit. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, man, no. But they make the best things. Like, every time I see people who are away in Apple products, like, try and use iTunes on a PC.
Mm.
They have a fucking nervous breakdown because it's the absolute worst piece of shit on a PC.
Mm-hmm.
The foibles of getting my contacts from my old phone to the Windows phone, and then just trying to get...
You did have a Windows
phone. Oh, my God.
Oh, wait, you did?
I tried it out for a bit before I got an iPhone.
Did I know you?
Yeah. It was when I switched from my old, slidey, pretty Chinese phone to my iPhone, but
I hope that's what the phone was called.
It was a Samsung pretty green Chinese phone.
Okay,
and in between those two, I didn't want to get an iPhone right away, so I tried out that Windows phone that was really stylish and really nice screen and really pretty as well. But fuck, was using Metro system on that thing just the worst.
Yeah,
and there was so many basic functions that they didn't figure out that I was just like, fuck this. No, I can't do this. I suffered for like maybe a week and then switched over.
That's a fucking fast turnaround.
I remember unbelievably this specific conversation on IGN. I was listening to, for some reason, it was back in 2007. IGN was doing some type of video where Jessica Chobot, Matt Casamassina, and someone else were talking about, yeah, so we went to go see Transformers, pretty good. So I just bought a new iPhone. Have you heard about this? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? The iPhone, man, what a piece of shit. These things are going to fail. And Jessica Chobot was like, yeah, the only way it'll succeed is if I lick it.
That's hilarious. That's ridiculous.
I don't think that's a real quote.
She didn't say that, but everyone was in agreement. They're like, yeah, what a huge mistake.
Hey, Wally, what kind of phone you got right now?
Right now, I got an iPhone.
You got an iPhone?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. You can't do this to it.
Oh, yeah, the Persona thing?
Oh, what, yeah.
Like a theme? Yeah, there's a Persona.
It's a more or less very in-depth theme, and it has integrated like what
day it is. I
didn't
know that there were themes. Are there other
this
themes?
This is all custom.
There's
it's exactly. Android. You can do whatever the fuck
you
want.
But you can buy it.
It's free.
There's
yes. You can download.
Yes.
I didn't even know about themes. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Someone made a
caveman.
Someone made a Persona theme thing that looks like the phones the characters have in the game.
Yeah, and someone's making a text messaging app that mimics the app from.
I hope it's to organize that orgy. Oh. Where there's not going to be any
if you show
fucking
up dressed,
SMT tripe.
If you
with
fucking
no
show up
length.
Dressed like Raido Kuzunoha, you get the fuck out of our creepy sex orgy.
You can watch it,
out.
But you can't come
you
in.
You can look through the
it.
Window and yeah. throw condoms in and pretend they're Pokeballs.
Oof. All right.
That's that replaced that. Okay. The Overwatch orgy jokes were replaced by the Undertale. No, wait. The Undertale orgy jokes are the first ones I really knew.
And the only ones that exist as far as I know.
But then there's the Overwatch ones.
No, I don't know anything about that.
Wait, yeah, you were there for some of that.
What?
What did you overhear at the Overwatch orgy? Molten Core!
Oh, okay. That's series that. Of puns, right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then this one. This is the new hot one. I like it.
But yeah, no, I've gotten beyond that level of let the other phone I don't have cool feature eat away at me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, it's okay. I'll just not have a Persona theme and that'll be fine.
No, I need to, the whole reason
Wally,
I have
whatever,
this is I need people to be jealous of it.
To get you through the day.
I need people
need
to be jealous
say.
Of it or it's not worth it.
He's, but
it's
you know
very
he's
cool.
jealous. He's a little jealous somewhere.
It's very
him.
Cool.
Thank you.
What I want to know is, I guess, is just like how hard it was to set up at all, if anything.
It took me 45 minutes.
Yeah.
That's
because
well,
it's made the really good looking one is made of two different themes that you have to like make together.
Yeah. And like I'm basically going back to those days of when we had our hacked PSPs.
Oh, those are so good.
And I don't know about you.
I spent so long.
Oh my God. I went in trying to learn how to make my own startup thing for when you know the little guitar strum that
I didn't
goes.
Even know you had a PSP.
Yeah, I had a white one and I had it and I did a bunch of shit with it. Well, I
don't know anything about you, it seems.
Yeah, dude.
I vividly
remember you being in multiple rooms while Wooly pulled out, played, and talked about a PSP.
I mean,
in front of you.
Sure.
I just switched my PS4 theme from Indivisible to Loco Roco because I love the shit out of Loco Roco and Patapon and all those PSP IPs that were just all about
the things I loved. Yep.
Yep. But anyway, so the what you could do was with the hacked PSPs, they allowed you to basically make your own menus and all that shit and do all the theme things. But then you could also do the startup whenever you're playing a game screen. You could customize that little guitar strum.
Right, right, yeah.
Right. So the one I default had it that I replaced it with was Sephiroth and Cloud from Advent Children going like
the one
slash,
I had
slash
for
boom,
so long.
And it was really cool. It was really cool.
Boot up Crisis Core with that, and you're just like,
yeah. But I remember like trying my fucking hardest to get Cho'Ginga Gurren Lagann coming out of the water. And then just the fade in.
I was never able to figure out how to make
it. Did not work out?
It wouldn't play. I got it to the point where it would show up on the PSP, but it wouldn't fucking play.
I never got the hang of making those animations myself. I was able to get everybody else's and slap them in whenever I wanted. But I never, I went down a similar path and just like, it doesn't work.
It was really weird. And like
part of the process in those guides that was clearly
working
missing.
With file formats that you're just unfamiliar with. And at some point you're just kind of like, okay, I'm not even dropping like movie files into into an area that it's playing. I'm just taking the existing PSP movie file and like trying to frame by frame replace what was there. It was really weird. But, a tricked out PSP though was like
shit.
Swag as fuck.
So much pussy.
I mean, there's a reason why people hung it from their chains.
It's true.
You know,
it's
don't
true.
Forget, man.
It was a social it was like a badge of honor.
You drop it on the floor of the metro, and your life becomes an Axe commercial.
You know,
everyone just starts making out in the metro with you because you have that cool PSP.
Everyone knew. They had the spot
everyone
for you.
Everyone knew.
It had the spot.
Knew.
All I want for Christmas is a PSP.
PSP. PSP. PSP.
Oh, my God.
They tried.
They tried so not hard at all.
And barely tried. They succeeded,
remember that
in my opinion.
Kid?
Fuck you. You just sang it. I just sang it. You just brought it up. That means they succeeded.
Remember that little kid?
Which kid?
Do you remember that old guy that did things for Sony? The old man who screamed at people?
No.
The advertiser.
And I'm looking at you.
The advertiser guy.
Get more specific.
There was this, Sony for like most of the PS3's life cycle had this old man that screamed at people.
Like what?
Oh, fucking, he wasn't old? He was like,
yeah, was this
in America or in Japan?
This is America.
Jamerica.
He was the fucking, the fake VP.
Yeah.
Do you remember not him? Butler. Fucking, he's a fake.
Butler?
He's a fake executive.
No, I don't know what you're talking.
From the entire lifespan of PS3.
Give me like a specific example.
Okay, he would be like, "Hey, losers, play the new PS3 game. It's the hottest system ever." And when they're advertising the Move, it would always be him using the Move as like
Kevin Butler.
Kevin Butler.
Okay, "Hey, losers" does ring a bell.
He was very Sega, like Sega 32X, Sega.
He was this guy, Will. He was this guy.
Okay. Yes. I know.
He came out 1 year at E3 before the real executives and gave a speech. It was super weird. Yeah.
But remember they had this black kid that was always talking about the PSP.
Oh, my God. You're right.
And he was like, "Yo, I'm in the train, and I got Loco Roco."
Because Kevin Butler was like, "Oh, I need to kick it over to my VP of, like, PSP marketing." And it was a fucking black kid on the subway.
Really?
I don't think that kid was the VP of marketing for PSP. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made that fucking ad for the PSP where white people are punching black people to advertise the white PSP.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah,
they were punching them, but it was weird, right?
It was the
like,
race war PSP ad.
The race war edition PSP.
In Sweden.
Get it now.
Kevin Butler. Wow.
I can't.
What a blast from the
You know past. Why? You know why that's why? So easily forgettable? Because it kind of just, it's so much like other commercials on TV that you can just, it doesn't, yeah. It doesn't stand out as like a particular type of game commercial. You know, like it just falls into that
you
category.
You know what killed that guy's career with Sony?
I thought you said what killed that guy. I vaguely remember
He appeared
this.
In some fucking, oh God, what was it? It was some fucking, I think it was a car commercial or some shit where they were giving away a Wii. Or something, and he talked about how, like, oh, you could get a brand new Nintendo Wii, and Sony's like, congrats, you just killed that fucking character, because that character doesn't know that other video game consoles exist, because he's all about the PlayStation, you're out.
Kevin Butler made the Switch.
Yeah. And he's, like, playing Wii Sports.
Oh, God. That's
traitor.
Race traitor Kevin Butler.
Poor guy, like,
I fucked up.
Did he have another gig? I mean,
he's
like
a bit actor, because
but it's like that, when that's your gig and you fuck that up, like, god damn it, man. When you know what happens when
I used to be the soap guy selling oil of Olay.
Well, look, when you don't fuck up the gig, you get Segata Sanshiroad.
Yeah.
You get put into video games and you become a legacy character, perfect and unforgotten, because that guy had a run of commercials and then they ended. And then now he's just this amazing memory everyone has.
Yeah.
You know? Also, he's a Kamen Rider.
Also happens to be Kamen Rider.
Yeah. Because you just... But it's a different character. You
is
know?
He?
Yeah.
Is he really?
I mean, look. Chuck Norris is Walker, Texas Ranger. But he's also...
Chuck Norris.
He's also Chuck Norris. The character.
Yeah.
So, and Chuck Norris and the American Commandos is not Walker, Texas Ranger. They look the same, they dress the same, and they save the same people.
And they do roundhouse kicks.
They always roundhouse kick.
They always got a roundhouse kick.
But they're not the same people. So I'm saying, you know, don't fuck up the gig.
That's all. Don't fuck up the
gig. Yeah.
Chuck Norris is like, I'm gonna have to improve on the roundhouse. Let me show you the square cabin kick. Shabams.
Oof.
Yeah.
Took me a second.
Yeah.
That's, boy, you are hungover.
Well, while you're taking that second, Matt, why don't you tell us about the week that led to that awful pun?
So,
it's not a pun, but whatever.
The other week.
Yeah, what is it? I don't even know.
The other week, I was like, oh, I'm going to go on a little family vacation with the two families. So I didn't set this up. It was all set up and blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, fine. I'll bring some comics. I'll read some comics in the car. That's fine. So we're taking the cab to, I'm told, to my sister's place. We're going to get picked up there. And on the way, the cab driver goes, hey, so what terminal are you going to? And I'm like, wait, what? And Leanna goes, oh, we're going to Sunwing International. And I'm going to go,
thought this was a road trip.
This is a road trip, I said. Yeah, no, I lied. We're going to Cuba.
Oh, okay. Oh,
that's fantastic. This was a work?
And then you're like, I don't have my passport.
She told
Whoopsie.
My mom to call me and talk about this fake trip.
To where?
To fool me. To New York, upstate New York, and go through Vermont. That's what I thought we were going to do. So
way to throw upstate New York under the bus.
What do you mean?
Well, because it's like, yeah, fuck that place.
But not, no, I mean like, oh, it's a big family co-vacation, so okay. Your fun is limited, you know, in terms of what you can do. So
right.
We're going to Cuba instead. I'm like, yeah, okay, good job fucking lying to me, but that's fine. That's awesome. I didn't pack anything. She's like, you motherfucker, here. I packed everything
you
for
go.
You. Like, okay. So not much to say, really. We just had a really good time. Just I did read a bunch of comics. Want to talk to you about them somewhere.
You're going to like almost clock out and beat me for how much time you spent in the islands.
Yeah, maybe.
Eventually.
Maybe.
The difference is that Matt had a good time.
Yeah.
Well, in the safe places where the armed guards make sure that you're having a good time.
That... The way you phrase that sounds more nefarious than you expected. The armed guards make sure you have a good time.
Well, they face the other way. The guards are not facing the resort.
Yeah, it's a bunch of gun-toting men just like, you having a good time?
Yeah.
You better.
Yeah.
But yeah, just read a bunch of comics, just stay on the beach, drink a bunch of rum. Willie, do you remember when we were doing...
Was it Mount Gay Rum?
Sorry?
Was it Mount Gay Rum?
And it was like Havana Club and stuff like that. I don't know. Willie, do you remember when we were doing Night in the Woods and I talked about an embarrassing incident that I said kind of does not trump Lachine High, Are You Ready?
I do.
But it was close. And I was like, I'll tell you about it later. And you're like, did this happen recently?
You said it
And
did.
I said, it super did. So I am near the pool. I am tasked with going to the big snack bar that has, I don't know, 24 people all eating, all chilling. And I got sunglasses on. I'm not drunk or anything, but I'm like walking around just trying to avoid people and I'm holding two other drinks. And with my sunglasses on, I just kind of see something out of the corner of my eye. And I'm kind of going like, what was that? It's like, I guess someone's coming up on my side. And I kind of go like, whoa. And I basically slam into a flamingo. A live flamingo that walks around the pool and squawks at people.
And you're just supposed to like ignore it.
You're just supposed to ignore it. Girls take selfies with it. Ah, it's a flamingo. But like, I smash into it and the bird goes nuts. Goes over here, knocks a woman over because she's so scared. She throws her drinks. Everything crashes. 24 people are all looking around. And then eventually they all kind of look at me. And I'm like, sorry.
Did you upset the flamingo?
Je m'excuse. Lots of French people there. Yeah, and then I'm like, I just kind of shake and wander over to the bar. Everything's okay, so and this woman, and then a little butler guy comes and cleans up the mess. It's fine and it's safe
for the resort as long as you don't make eye contact with it or touch it. It won't freak out and kill everybody.
If no one does anything, the bird just walks around as normal.
How? I've never seen a flamingo
alive. This is what my question was going to be.
How big are flamingos?
Because every shot of a flamingo I've seen is them standing in a fucking pond or some shit.
And or a plastic one on your lawn.
I don't know what they look like.
I don't actually know how big they are.
The one I saw is basically like 4 feet.
Oh, so they're ostriches.
Mini ostrich.
Well, yeah.
And they're pink.
Yeah.
Look, ostriches are way more than 4 feet. Because its legs, those fuckers will crush
its legs
you.
Are super, super long. And its neck, obviously. But like, so yeah, it just kind of walks around and just minds its own business until I came fucking spearing it.
You could kick its ass in a fight if you needed to.
I could. I'm not going to lie. But so yeah, that happened. That's basically it. Like, there's some other stuff, but whatever, minor.
You got into a random battle with a flamingo.
I got into a random battle with a flamingo. So like I said, read comics. I started the new Elizabeth Salander novel, Girl in the Spider's Web.
Mm-hmm.
Some people telling me, yeah, it's not that great because it's written by another author, clearly, because the original author is dead.
Yep.
But like, I got halfway through it, and I was really enjoying it, actually. So I haven't finished it yet, but like, I read that. Since I've come back, I put some more time into Injustice. Haven't finished the story mode yet, but I'm just playing Bane a lot. Even though, like, there's other characters, like, Max was playing a lot of Scarecrow, and a lot of people are like, yeah, Scarecrow. And see all the crazy shit? Like, Nightwing is basically in the game.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah. Like, and Power Girl, if we switched the boob window on, it would have been...
Well, Power Girl is a premiere skin. Yeah, it changes...
It changes Supergirl into Power Girl.
Yeah, there's John Stewart one as well.
But this is different, where Robin, he's Robin, will just... get the staff out that Nightwing had and just start using it, but only that it's in the multiverse. It's like an AI controlled guy.
Yeah.
No one can control him yet, or I don't know, but because there's all the gear stuff is like super confusing to me still.
Yeah. Well, again, like from what my friend explained, it's like it's cosmetic, but if you put on the right cosmetics, you then get the alternate character.
Right.
You know, okay. And the voice changes and the skin changes and everything. And you get like, you know, like I said, like different Green Lanterns or like Power Girl, Supergirl, I know. And well, what other things that we don't bring up. But I think it's basically, again, supposed to be the equivalent of buying a DLC skin character, you know, but you just instead... get these bits and pieces.
I do like that they're kind of hidden, though. Like, holy shit, did you hear about that? Because one thing I've always thought about NetherRealm is that they're in the age of the internet, they're still trying to get that Mortal Kombat mystique of there's secrets everywhere. Oh, there's still an undiscovered secret in Mortal Kombat 2.
And I got found out.
Yeah, I know. But like Cyber Sub-Zero spoiled on day zero because the guide came out that was like, it was Cyber Sub-Zero.
Well, data mining is like... taking that shit to a new level.
Yeah.
Did it get out in the wild 2 weeks early? Guess what? Here's the ripped models in pornography.
You're not going to hide anything anymore.
But, you know, overall, still, I was kind of like, yeah, Injustice 2 looks cool, but I just kind of feel like it came out of nowhere almost. Like, here, it's revealed, now it's out. I almost kind of
There was definitely a build-up to it. Actually, I feel the opposite in that, like, I remember when they dropped the 2 in the Injustice font, and then Boone's Twitter for the last 6 months in my head has been, you know, teasing this and dropping that, and it's been a long build-up in
like
my
he's,
head.
I feel like I he's feel been like doing it shorter. In the pre-release now instead of after the game comes out, because Boone is a prolific super liar.
Yeah,
The fucking, the one that's killing you lately, the one that cracks you up every time is the fucking, that's not right, and just fucking edit the fucking hat off him. Just, oh shit.
Now, I don't know if you ever wanted to gain the superpower to make people throw controllers, but if you did, drop Bane and pick up Deadshot.
Yeah, well, in the Fisticuff, who I think I took him, someone took him, and it was just like,
right now, well,
is that not the exact same thing that happened with Deathstroke in Injustice 1?
Let's not even, like, we were staring at the buttons on our controllers and then back at the screen and then back at our hands in the fisticuffs.
It was an excuse to make fun of that dumb psychic gorilla.
That's not at all what that's representative of. But if you go and you check out tournament footage of what's happening in Injustice right now, what you're seeing is a keep away game with Deadshot that is rivaled only by Super Turbo Old Sagat. And it is causing controllers to be thrown at events like Toriyukin. and frustration abound.
I'm going to call that quite a claim, that the direct comparison you're making is ST Old Sagat.
The point is that's
crazy.
It is, but it's a really bad keep away game. But then again, have you seen how bad keep away got in Injustice 1?
Yeah. It got pretty bad.
It was really rough.
Well, I saw Max
and I say that as a Peacock player.
I saw Max talking about it, and it's like projectile zoning in Injustice 2 is fucked, because when you're projectile zoning, you gain meter and chip damage.
It's the guile.
And
yeah.
The other guy gains nothing.
Yeah, it's the guile problem.
Yeah, but it's like the stages are really fucking big. They're super wide.
And you can retreat for a while. Max is saying, well, they put in the, everyone goes, well, just roll, cancel into roll, but you have to dash to do that, then go into a roll. And it's too slow. It can't deal with Deadshot
exactly.
Or like a few other characters.
And back in Injustice 1, again, as Solomon Grundy, what I would have to do is do his walking corpse grab, because you take the hit and move forward, and then like do a cancel to do it a second time. But that's a terrible solution. You're sacrificing damage in a lot of cases. It's really rough. They can run away for a while, and then they do the escape and flip over.
What happens to a character like Deadpool when he's not in a game like Marvel?
Although Marvel has Morrigan, you know what I mean. Yeah. So that's a whole other thing. But keep away projectiles is a completely viable strategy.
Oh, totally.
It's just that it's incredibly frustrating for a lot of people to fight against.
Especially if the person you are fighting as is like not one, and there's not really good ways to dodge between these bullets.
And keep away in Injustice 2, in Injustice also consists of not just like projectile spam in the same way of like fireballs, but like laser spam, you know? And keep away Superman is always like a ridiculous game of like beam, okay, he's getting wise to the beam pattern, so now I meter burn it to get that extra pushback. Yeah. And the meter burn version resets you to the back of the fucking stage. And you're like, okay, well then no, we're just going to not do this, you know?
It's hard because when you're dealing with superheroes, especially a lot of DC ones, like all of them shoot beams or eye lasers or they have guns. Mm. I mean, in the case of like, who
There's
has
a
guns?
Lot of projectile
Harley
spam
has
in
guns.
DC.
Deadshot, obviously. I think Joker might have one.
Batman has guns that he throws.
Basically, anyone with a projectile, really. I can't wait for Red Hood.
Sure.
Superman has eye guns. Supergirl has eye guns.
And that's why.
Gorilla Grodd has telekinesis.
You need a good bionic arm.
Flash is a gun.
Basically. Batman's a gun. Aside from that, I also played
so satisfying to just
I just want Matt. Mm-hmm. I want to see a photo based on what you just said, and it's a gun wearing the cowl.
Yeah. The bat gun. I played some Dead Cells. Did anyone else have any chance to check that out?
Dead Cells is on my list of to-dos, but yeah. I haven't gotten to it.
I play around an hour of it. It's pretty fucking good. There's like we've said before, there's a million games like this, but it's like it feels like a 2D Castlevania with some Dark Souls in mm-hmm. it, basically. But it feels really good to control your character. Like he has a nice slash. It's like there's not that many overwhelming mechanics, and the game is also gorgeous. That helps. So I played that. I played more Outlast. Pat, so I don't think this had this that much in Outlast 1, but Outlast 2, it's more like Silent Hill, mm-hmm. where you constantly go from the situation you're in to maybe like little flashbacks of past sins, mm-hmm. and those past sin things are playable, mm-hmm. and they're in two completely different time frames and two completely different locations, a school mm-hmm. and in the Arizona desert. So your character is dealing with like this trauma from their background. Well, I'm like, that's really interesting.
Yeah, I saw some of that. My girlfriend and I played it a little while back. Played about two, 3 hours.
It gets more and more as you keep going because mm-hmm. there was a little bit of it in like the first two or three.
That game's crazy on the baby murder. You weren't kidding.
Yeah,
it's the fuck the cult you run into is we have to murder all the babies.
Wow. All of them, wow. even the. Babies.
That's the premise of the cult you're dealing with.
But did you get to the stuff where they do? This is like my favorite thing about the game. You get to the stuff where they do really awesome, like shocking transitions between both worlds.
No.
So something's chasing you in the school, and you hide into a you hide in a locker, and when you open up the locker, you're falling into the forest.
That's great.
They in the first couple hours, it doesn't really happen that much. Like maybe once, and the next 3 hours I put into it now, it's happening like all the time.
That's a good goddamn
and it's
trick.
Constantly surprising me. Like every time, I'm like, whoa, fuck, oh, awesome.
The big scaries is cult people.
There's a bunch. There's okay. some type of eldritch horror.
Yeah, there also appear to be monsters.
There's monsters. There's like RE4 style big guys. There's just regular cultists. There's a lot of stuff. There's a creepy woman. There's something that was so horrible. There was something that was just made out of arms, like just arms walking down in the school. And I was.
Did you a big frighten?
After a while, it stopped being scary. It started being more RE4-ish, where it was more like...
Because you have enough weapons to fight back.
No, you have zero weapons.
Oh, no, this
you
is Outlast.
You always have zero weapons. But
you outlast the horror.
But like, it's never... Enemies are slow-ish. The only time you die are maybe in QTEs that you don't know about. But regardless, I'm enjoying it. And the last thing I kind of want to talk about is I sat down, watched that first 2 hours of Twin Peaks Season 3.
So I haven't watched it.
Okay. It's good. It's great. But it's, I don't know how much Twin Peaks it is because it's just now fucking weird. And I watched the first 2 hours. I have no idea about any single thing.
So it's Lynch Unhinged.
Very, very. It's more like his weirdo movies in the 90s.
So
right now, at least, they must spend like two scenes in Twin Peaks with a hawk and the receptionist.
Lucy.
They must spend two scenes like that. And all the rest is this wacko stuff that the show is like not going to explain it, which is cool. I just hope everything... starts making sense.
You need to get on the Twin Peaks fucking lore YouTube video bandwagon.
Yeah, probably think I might need to because a lot of stuff I don't get what's happening. And also what's rough is that some cast members are just like, I'm not showing up for this.
Yeah, Donna and the
sheriff.
Harry are
gone. Oh, that sucks.
Harry is not in it.
Really? Yeah.
Right now he's not in it.
He's not in it.
But even if he does show up in it, it won't be the actor that played him. He was just like, I'm not doing it.
The actor said he was going to do it.
And then
he was like, nah, I'm too old.
Is it a big enough cast for that to kind of not matter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There is. I saw the cast list for the new season. It's absurd.
Michael Cera's in it.
It's absurdly gigantic.
Lillard.
We're talking like 140 characters.
There's a lot.
What the fuck?
Include and remember,
well, it's a town.
The
guess,
original
right?
Twin yeah. Peaks also has like 100-ish characters.
Yeah, but
you're learning
first
about
two
a
episodes.
Town. All right,
like they go to Las Vegas, they go to New York. They
fucking
go to,
Trent Reznor is in that cast.
Whoa,
list.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, we did a story on this.
Yes, it's true. Actually,
we did a story and we noted like the ridiculousness of how.
To be fair though, Willie, like in the first season, like David Duchovny's in it. Like lots of people
in his first big role after La Beauty or whatever.
Yeah, after that one episode of Blender. Yeah. So yeah, I like it, but like need to watch. I think there's like four episodes that they just dumped.
Yeah,
all like some people are like, I watched four episodes or something. So I want to watch more. But already it's good. Kyle MacLachlan, they must have done some makeup to him because he looks way better than he does
on
life.
On Portlandia, for example.
Now what's weird is that now when I see him, I'm like, why is the mayor of Portland?
Oh God.
This?
Yeah. So what's really crazy, so I've been watching, I just started watching last night Twin Peaks with a girlfriend because she'd never seen it, and I want to watch that whole thing with her before we watch the third season together. Mm. You know the scene in which they're in the Red Room and Coop's old?
Yeah.
Okay, he looks older in that makeup in the original series than he does now.
Yeah, yeah.
When he's actually old and has been de-aged.
But that's just good makeup though,
yeah.
At the end of the
they
day.
They overdid it. Mm. What's going on?
Ignore him.
What's Willie doing? Willie's standing over me threateningly.
Ignore the green man behind the curtain. That's fine. Okay.
As you mentioned...
are you the wizard?
Yes. As you mentioned...
he's not good at Nintendo
whatchamacallit. As you mentioned, the mayor from Portlandia, yeah. It just made me think a bit because I started watching season three of Kimmy Schmidt. And because that just popped up, and what they one thing about that is I don't know if you remember how
did they finish it? Just watch a couple episodes.
Just a couple episodes, okay. But I don't know if you remember how Fred Armisen shows up.
Yep,
and he's and he's playing Robert Durst.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, what? So, oh, I need to catch up.
Okay, now did you see the jinx?
I didn't see season two.
Because the thing with this is, like, if you, like, when I was first watching it, I was like, okay, he's just playing this weirdo.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever.
I thought that, too.
But when you watch the Jinx, which is the
I have not watched that.
The short series about Robert Durst, yeah. And about that entire case.
I've heard of it.
And you see the way he acts and his mannerisms.
Yeah.
That character goes from a fucking softball 4 to a 10.
Well, that's...
It's unbelievable how amazing he's playing him.
But it's also like that... plastic surgeon that Martin Short played that I thought was just a jokey, weird character, but then he's actually modeled after a crazy plastic surgeon. And that guy was like, I think he tried to sue or made some sort of comment saying like, I don't approve of that. I don't like that.
Oh,
like,
man.
Whatever.
Like, we're talking like these are like, it's like a sleeper joke. Mm-hmm. That you can ignore and not know the guy, and then it doesn't pop up enough for it to matter in the show. But when you do know what they're referencing, it's fucking incredible.
Sorry, I just remind myself of that one joke in season two where it's like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Man, the guy who wrote that must be a billionaire
by
now.
Yeah.
So fucking good. Yeah, so that was me.
Cool. All right. Before we move on, let's take a quick word from our sponsors.
Ooh.
We're all looking pretty scraggly today.
A little bit.
I see a little edge up required on that side over there, Matt.
So I'll be honest. Last week I had a horrific neck beard.
Yep.
And this week I got rid of it, but I used an electric razor, and it's like it's visually clean, but like I can feel
Dollar Shave Club.
Oh
Pat.
My god,
shit.
I should have done that.
Dollar Shave Club for everybody.
I'm a piece of crap. I should have done that.
I mean, we can see now that our podcast is in a visual medium how awful our face creatures are growing.
Well, I like to keep the camera far away.
Yeah, that's the trick. I actually got up and adjusted the frame so that more of your horrible mess could be shown on camera.
Come on, man.
And, I mean, look, Matt, we're not quite at lasers and diamonds for
I haven't been.
You know,
I had to drop out of that game.
Yeah, the standard's pretty high. The standard's pretty high. But you don't have to get that ridiculous about it. You can just get yourself a really smart choice razor that gets shipped straight to your door every
now,
month.
Get to the part I want to get to. Do you
okay,
know
well,
one
there's a couple different parts. I mean, there's good parts.
But which part?
Well,
do you think?
Let's
what do we want
look,
to talk about?
Maybe we want to talk about the executive razor, right?
Okay,
maybe
no,
we
that's
want
a
to
good
talk
one.
About you know the smooth shave you get from every month's box. Maybe you want to talk about the $15 value that's only $5.
Okay.
Maybe you want to talk about the free shipping.
Yeah.
The replacement cartridges that automatically are shipped at a regular price. No hidden fees and commitments. Cancel anytime you like.
Okay.
Maybe we want to talk about going to dollarshaveclub.com/friendcast.
What's all of these? dollarshaveclub.com/friendcast?
That's dollarshaveclub.com/friendcast.
Oh, my goodness.
All or maybe great, you want to talk about the product that comes in your Dollar Shave Club box.
Wait, hold on. My face is feeling like a dry loaf of toast.
There is a man.
Solution.
Nay,
this.
Not a man. There is a doctor.
God
a
doctor.
A Cadillac of men. Dr. Carver.
What has he done?
MD.
Yes.
Has created a concoction that we refer to
a brew.
Shave butter.
There you shave go. Butter. That's what I was
I can about. Butter my face like that because I feel like dry toast.
Dr. Carver's shave butter. It's transparent. It is essential for a precise shave, preventing your ingrown hairs and razor bumps. And I don't know if you know a thing about people of the darker persuasion, but we get them bumps.
I know
bumps.
Nothing.
We get them bumps if we shave bad.
Yeah. So I get ingrown hairs real bad.
You gotta handle
it's
that.
Like horrible.
You know, so the only place you're getting Dr. Carver's Miracle Shave
Exclusive.
Butter.
Exclusive. I think.
I mean, back in the day, it was when his wagon came to town. Let's be real. Those days are gone. That way.
Gonna shave your wagon. Gonna shave it good.
That way is gone. And now the only way is to head on down to dollarshaveclub.com/friendcast.
I'm so glad we got there.
That's dollarshaveclub.com/friendcast. Thank you, Dollar Shave Club.
Thank you.
DSC. DSC. all right. So, who wants to take it?
I'll take it.
Sure.
I didn't do all that much. Played a lot of HOTS. I actually got, like, that Nexus challenge totally worked, and all my friends are playing it all the time.
Yeah, you tweeted out that you like HOTS more than Overwatch.
Yes, I did tweet that.
What's up with that?
I win games in HOTS occasionally.
Is that all it takes?
It helps. Like, Overwatch has, like, passed me by. Like, I'm a child joke.
You could go to the playground and play tic-tac-toe with sticks.
Yeah, I could.
And get a higher
win
rate.
Yeah, no, but the thing is that I get a lot of the same things out of HOTS that I get out of Overwatch. Like the character diversity and all that stuff.
That's nuts, man. That's nuts. But I...
Because you have characters from like a bunch of different franchises.
The genre is the biggest gulf and it just like...
Yeah, but the genre means I don't have to be good at first-person shooters. I have to be good at clicking a mouse and aiming things on a 2D plane.
God bless,
it's a good game.
God bless.
People should play it.
I did.
Yeah, I know. I know you did. Did I talk about The Surge last podcast? No, it came out this past Tuesday, right?
Yeah, we were looking forward to it last
podcast. Yeah, okay. So I played a bunch of The Surge.
Yeah, you streamed a bunch of The
this
Surge.
This game is fucking great. This is what I would call a good-ass 8 out of 10. You know what I mean? Like, it's definitely no masterpiece, right? And it's even, like, low rent in a couple ways.
You're coming at this from deep game right now?
I'm about 40%, I guess.
Okay.
It's hard as shit. It's crazy hard. It's way harder than like DS1 or DS3. It's not even a question. It's like on the level of Bloodborne. And there's a lot of it's a Souls game. It is 100% a future-y Souls game in the near future with exosuits instead of, you know, magic or guns or what have you.
And guns are magic.
One big area, bonfire loops, shortcuts.
Instead of the bonfire, it's
terminal.
It's the med terminal.
Okay. Yeah.
And instead of the Firelink Shrine music, it's a country track.
Okay.
That just happens to play. It's a different country track per thing. And shortcut pornography and all that stuff. The main things that it changes are everything about the way you level up and everything about how you acquire gear.
Mm-hmm.
So no longer are you farming for drops. Instead, you and the enemies all share gear. So the Black Knight equivalent in this game are the black suited security guys. And you see a guy and you go, I want that guy's fucking stick, or I need his helmet to complete my set. So instead of changing targets with the red analog stick, you change what body part you're aiming at. And it's way easier to kill somebody if you aim at their unarmored bits because it staggers them on every hit. But if you aim at their armored bits and build it up, you hit X to initiate a kill move, which Matt saw a ton of them in the...
Yeah.
They're awesome. And if you spent the whole time damaging that part, you'll break it, wreck it, and get the schematic for that part. And then you just...
So you're window shopping when you're fighting enemies.
You just immediately go, oh, that guy has a set I like, fight five or six of them.
You get them one at a time.
And you will have the schematics, and then you just need the materials to go and build them.
Okay. I want to tell Wooly about a part.
Yeah, go for it.
Wooly, when you're doing these kill animations to chop off like a thing, for no reason other than, why not? It lets you stop the kill animation.
Yeah, you press pause at any point.
And you can spin the camera around. You can make it go forward and back just to look cool.
Okay.
And I was like, when I saw that, I was like, that's cool.
That showed up in a build one day. No one asked for it. And the guy who put it in was like, fine.
Yeah. And leveling up works completely differently. So you level up your core level, and all it does is increase the amount of implants you can put in. So all your health upgrades, all your health item upgrades, all your attack upgrades, all that stuff is all implants that, you know, you equip like 1 out of 8 slots or 1 out of 16 slots. And they all take, this takes 4 power or this takes 2 power. And if you have, say, core power 30, you can only equip so many or so few of the stronger ones. And as you level that up more and more. So I was talking to people because I got to a part in the game where every single enemy killed me in one hit. And
I see it.
That's crazy. Yeah, it was a part of the end of the video where Matt and I play. And I asked people after that, I was like, okay, what am I doing wrong? It's like the game is expecting you to spend a bunch of your slots on the health upgrades. Okay. Because you don't get health upgrades.
Okay.
And defense values in that game are low overall. It's definitely not as good as any of the Souls games.
Is it?
But it's way better than Lords of the Fallen.
Well, what if I just decide...
It's a good game.
What if I just decide to think about it as the spiritual successor to Cyborg Justice
that we got?
What if we just put it there instead? Mentally, take it off the Dark Souls shelf and put it on the Cyborg Justice shelf.
They should have called it that.
Oh, is that working?
It's working real good.
That works good? Okay. Okay. We'll take that. We'll take that. That's real good.
It's great. You should try it out.
Did you see the image I made for it?
I did not.
It's just Tom Cruise in Edge of Tomorrow with the surged logo.
The thing that I really like about it has one of the best visual gear progressions I've seen in a while, where in Dark Souls, like, stuff you get at the end of the game is not necessarily cooler than the stuff you get at the beginning, right? But in Surge, it makes sense in that at the very beginning, you are barely wearing gear. Like, you're getting, like, some fucking floodlights on your thing, and you wear a visor, and you got little glove things. And as you get further in, it's like, okay, now I have a slightly higher end box loader, and now I have construction equipment. And the more you go, the less of your character you see.
Nice.
Because the more of it is just covered in tech.
Yeah.
And I've seen people are sending me screenshots of like the end game where you're getting like military grade stuff, and it's like you look like the black juggernaut or something.
You're the machine.
Great. Yeah.
What and how are guns handled?
They're not.
All right.
Melee.
Enemies will occasionally have guns.
With like 2 bullets.
But they are like, so you know how an archer in Dark Souls would work is like he shoots arrows at you. Yeah. And then if you get close, he'll take his sword out.
Yeah.
In this, all the projectile firing enemies are basically on turrets. And they will just walk off the turret when you get within a certain distance. And they fire in exactly the same like speed and distance away from you as they would in Dark Souls. Like the arrow speed is nearly...
You see it coming at you.
You see it coming and you can go,
Okay.
It's a great game. It's a really great game. And they have been balancing it aggressively. So the first big patch came out, and the number one thing in that patch is we made blocking like 3 times as good. Because in the launch game, blocking was terrible, and now blocking is good.
Blocking with a shield type thing?
No.
Or just...
Well, because every single piece of gear you have is a giant metal slab of some kind. So you're putting your big fucking weirdo slab in front of you and blocking. And there's no parry, but a perfect block will parry, and then the next attack that you do will be a unique super attack that does like Riposte. two or three times more damage. Two or three times more damage.
Is there, and how does the PvP system work?
You press pause in this game and it pauses. There is no multiplayer of any kind.
All right. Okay.
The bosses also have a unique...
Lords of the Fallen didn't have any either, right?
No, it did not.
Multiplayer, okay. No.
It also has a somewhat unique mechanic that I absolutely fucking despise, in which all bosses give you a weapon. If you defeat the boss in a specific way, it will give you a way better version of that weapon. So the first boss has a sequence in which you hit its legs, and then he fires rockets at you, and you use the you dive under him, and the rockets hit him, and he falls down. If you're able to defeat him without him getting hit by any rockets, you get a way better version of the sword that he gives you, because the number, the one you would get during that says, really high quality thing, unfortunately damaged by rocket fire.
Yeah. Okay.
And so on and so forth. But it means that for people like you and I fighting those bosses, like, you could totally beat this boss right now if you wanted to. But
if you wanted,
you want to get that fancy weapon. Well, you're going to have to cut all of the guy's legs off before you kill him, or you're going to have to do this, or you're going to have to do that. And I don't care for it at all.
I'm trying to think, because like, if there's in these types of games that you take that like are Souls-like or whatever, usually even having like a passive PvP type thing, mm-hmm. like what Neo would do when you would like have their shadows.
Yeah, no, this one's
whatever.
Clean.
No hints, no nothing.
No online functionality, no PvP,
isn't
no
it also
nothing.
Because you play as a character.
You also play as a single character named Warren.
Is there,
and he's a guy.
And are there more cutscenes and plot things happening?
No, there are not. There is less than a Souls game. There is bordering on nothing. You meet NPCs in the same way. They're like, I need my medicine, or I need a staff. But aside from a couple characters that you talk to that push the plot along, the primary form of plot exposition
is
a lady that talks to you in the med lab and goes, you got to help me get to the thing. And this dick bag, this
marketing guy,
fucking marketing piece of shit that's playing on every single television in the entire facility, that is like he's this fucking hipster, like young Steve Jobs guy who's like, here at Creo, we know that you need a good healthcare. And he's just a fucking piece of shit. And he's telling you all these things about the company, but in the fucking bullshit PR speak. So just invert everything that he says.
We're going to have an announcement of the trailer of the new weapon you'll be able to get in level 5.
Straight up. he's such an asshole.
How many weapon types have you gone through?
There are
so
5
far?
Weapons.
Okay. Types or weapons?
Types.
Types.
But everything of a specific type works the same. So there are 5 weapons.
Okay.
And they are one-handed sword, two-handed sword, / hammer, depends. Rig, which is like super long construction implement on your right arm. Twin rig, which is pile bunkers, mm-hmm. dual pile bunkers. Mm-hmm. And what's the fifth one? The fifth one's staff.
So you can just be Rumble.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool. Okay.
Well, one of the early armor types is just Bumblebee.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's called the Scarab.
Well, twin pile bunkers, I don't mind becoming the big O for a moment or two.
The twin pile bunkers are the fastest one. They're the dagger equivalent.
Oh, they're not heavy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So probably the weirdest thing, and I don't know if it made it into the video, but I was talking to Matt about it, was that you are, every single kill, you're tearing people apart. You're slicing them in half, right? All of your weapons, except for a few of the one-handed swords, are blunt. They're all blunt instruments that have no sharp edges. You're just hitting people really, really hard.
Okay.
Like the staff kills are, you put the staff under their arm and just pop their arm off.
And I mean, to be fair, like, if a blood battle broke out in a Renault depot, most of the weapons you're going to use to survive are going to be blunt.
They're going
to
be fine.
You know?
You're going to do great. It's a really great game. Biggest problem is they do vary it up, and it doesn't bother me that much. But even Matt saw this. There is some environmental repetition. I can easily see how people would get really, really lost because it is a lot of like industrial corridors, a lot of like, you know, later on you go to offices.
That's so. Fucking texture under, set four repeated.
That underground again again. Facility where everything was dark.
Yeah.
I had no idea where you were going. I don't think you did either.
Map system?
What's that?
Map system?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. There are maps, but they are straight up
physically placed.
They are like, you are here for employees.
Right. Okay. Okay.
And there, you know, there's a lot of little details that I really appreciate. Nearly every single time you go back to the bonfire / medical bay, a computer tells you to go back to work. Because you're labeled as an employee and you're slacking off. Mm. Just little things like that that like I appreciate. You heal instantaneously because damage is so high. Like you hit that button for Estus and it's not even there's no animation. It just goes poof, you're healed. Because if it didn't, you'd just die in every single encounter.
And are most encounters with humanoid things?
The vast majority of encounters I have played so far are with humans that are either crazy or not. That are using one of the five weapon types that you have.
Okay.
And there's like little robots.
There are robots occasionally. So the good thing...
Well, because I saw some bosses
so
and stuff.
Probably the most interesting thing to you, Wooly, is there are new forms of defensive tech in this game.
Cool.
That are not available to you in Souls games. And that is, you have your block, you have your parry, you have your perfect guard, you have your backstab, blah, 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 right? You also have a jump and duck. Sorry, a hop and duck. In which... horizontal attacks that go high or low, you can duck under or jump all over by holding block and tapping up or down on the analog stick. And if you successfully do that and then attack, you either do a Superman punch or rising knee.
Okay.
And it's a huge counter hit.
Fuck, that's dope.
If you see like tough enemies, they run in and they're going to do their big overhead.
Yeah.
Just hook. And then big knee.
Well, not overhead, horizontal.
Yeah, horizontal.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Dope.
It's fun. I like it a lot. It's a good game.
Yeah. No, that's one I'm
crazy tough. It's super, super hard.
That's going to purchase and sit. But yeah, I got it.
Well, why don't you just wait for it to go on sale?
I don't mind.
Why not wishlist and sit?
I don't mind supporting it while it matters.
Well, that works.
You know? What are you playing it on?
I'm playing on PC.
Okay.
Runs really great on PC.
Yeah.
The PS4 Pro implementation is also fantastic. Digital Foundry did an article on it. It says it's probably one of the best Pro implementations so far.
Okay. Yeah. No. I'm not going to get around to it just yet. But
I was terrified that game was going to be trash. Because Lords of the Fallen is a bad game.
But the demo footage they showed of like the first 19 minutes and stuff looked pretty solid.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
And also, I'll admit, I'm probably liking it more than maybe it deserves because like I want that setting so bad.
Diesel Souls.
Diesel Souls or Tech Souls or Data Souls.
I'd want it different than what The Surge does because The Surge is more like... It's like not very imaginative, the environments you're in, the ones that I saw.
The environments are not imaginative at all.
I want something that's like fantasy sci-fi, if anything.
I agree.
Like I want to be on an alien planet.
I mean, the closest thing you're getting is Scrap Souls, Let It Die.
Well, the closest thing you're going to get is Code Vein, or it's Anime Souls in the future.
The vampire one.
Yeah, the but you know what? Like, scratch one off the list.
Yeah.
Right?
This one's good. There are now, like, dedicated good competitors to that formula.
Mm. Cool.
That's pretty much it.
That's you? Yeah, okay.
HOTS is good.
I almost didn't have a week.
Yeah.
You died?
Did you live in a box?
But then at the last second.
You almost died?
At the last second.
Is he dead right now?
Life came back.
I had a week at the last second. It was really
dangerous. Like Sunday.
Coming
like
over here.
Yeah, it was risky.
Coming over here, he had an adventure.
Yeah.
Tell us about your adventure.
It was crazy. It lasted hours.
I'm now on
Flamingo.
I'm now on season 3 of Black Mirror. And I've now watched the clunker. Of the series, unfortunately.
The bad one. The VR
just an
one,
episode
isn't it?
Or a season?
It's one episode, and it's the episode itself is underwhelming, but all right. It also might mean a lot more because it's covering subject matter that we're intimately familiar with. It's an episode about video games, And
who's in this episode?
It's an episode. Have you watched Black Mirror?
I might have seen this episode you're
it's
talking
the,
about.
Yeah, it's the one with fake Hideo Kojima in it.
Okay. So it's like a Japanese guy?
Yeah.
Is okay, it Hideo Kojima?
His Sho Saito. It might as well be. And he's on the cover of Edge magazine. And he created a huge hit. And then he left. And now he's on his own with his other company. And he's doing amazing things. And he wants to make a game that'll make you shit your pants.
That's great.
I don't see the correlation.
Yeah, it's nuts. I don't know what the fuck. What am I talking about? Anyway, the regardless of all that stuff, in the end, you just sort of get an episode that is like it's all right while it goes, and then it has the worst ending, and then it just upsets me at the dropped potential in the concept. And
the ending that the whole episode was in VR all along?
I'm not gonna say anything.
Was it all a dream?
I'm not even gonna facial expression.
It's hard
it.
To talk about Black Mirror.
I'm not even gonna facial expression it. I'm gonna give you nothing on that. But I will say that it is.
Damn, I got nothing.
It is the weakest point of the series, and you know what? Everything's got those, right?
It has to. They can't,
there's like, always
like this podcast.
It's three seasons, but they're not like full length seasons.
No, they're British shows,
seasons. This is 197th episode of the podcast.
They're not all going to be
this
gold.
This one's terrible.
This one's
so
not
far.
Very
I mean,
good. And
I mean, come on.
And you know
we,
what?
We
but
can
you
bring
and
it
you
back,
might
though.
Well, you
we
might think it's back. All right, but then just wait till the ending. The ending's going to be awful, and it'll ruin the whole thing.
Sometimes our endings are our weakest things.
So that's
endings are hard.
You know,
hey guys, we beat the podcast by.
It's hard to give a happy ending all the time.
Yeah, but. You know, like everyone that has seen ahead has very, very loudly said, yeah, but just wait for
that other one.
That other one, San, whatever it's called.
That other one's good.
So I'm like, all right, now expectations are high.
Because the way the show is yeah. it's always a different story, different characters, whatever. It's like some have to be bad. Some have to not hit.
But here's the thing. What? So far, they've been excellent. In, like the whole way through,
I've watched like one or two episodes. I was like, "Yeah, that didn't do anything for me." They're not bad, but huh. I'm just like, eh.
"Okay, no."
The other one with John Hamm and he's in that cabin.
No,
with a guy.
No, 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 no.
Okay, John Hamm. You know who I mean? Though.
I know who that is. And okay. No, I have
you haven't
seen
that.
I don't know what
Shit.
That is.
Okay, all right.
So you must have seen pretty far then.
I scattered random episodes. Leanna watches the show, like finish all of it, so I'd come and watch one, not watch others. So
I can tell you going from the beginning moving forward that everything I've seen up until this one has been fucking great.
Yeah.
And it ranges from like, yeah, that was pretty awesome to that was amazing.
Okay.
You know, that was the range. Mm. And so like we hit this lull, and then we'll see what happens afterwards, you know. Again, my expectations now shot. So there's that. I also suggest they popped up Tracy Morgan's new special on Netflix.
Yeah, I saw
that shit's funny.
Still alive.
That shit's funny. You should watch it.
That's a great name for a special.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Tracy Morgan?
Yeah?
Still alive? Staying alive, rather.
Staying alive.
And
Does he have any relationship to Tracy Jordan?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. They're kind of similar.
No, for real, though. Like, Tracy Morgan has always confused me because the line between those people seems blurry.
Well, that was the point.
He's crazy, right?
Tina Fey said, just be you. And here, be you, and we're going to read and just do it with the script.
And then he didn't read the script.
And then that was Tracy Jordan. And that was it. Like, if you're going to put Tracy Morgan on a show that has like a schedule and shooting times and regular things to adhere to, then you write in Tracy Morgan and you will never be disappointed. Anyway, so his special,
everyone just work around it.
Now the thing is that his stand-up is very different from the way he is on SNL in general.
Yes.
And it's almost a bit of that like Robin Williams, Jim Carrey type thing. But
so mania.
But this is the most normal that I've ever seen him, and
being in a huge life-threatening accident changes you.
It's and yeah, and that's obviously like the majority of what he talks about. But it's fucking great. It's fucking great. It's a really good stand-up special. Cool. Worth peeping for an hour of your time. And lastly, I continued watching season 2 of Attack on Titan. Mm-hmm. So I'm now caught up to where the latest episode is. Mm-hmm. And that
fucking show, dude. Oh my god.
Amazing. It,
the best episode of, in my opinion, of the series so far happened a week ago or so.
So better than
everything.
I remember you like losing your shit back in season one around, I want to say it's 21, 22, or 23.
My
where
favorite.
You described it as everything that you wanted to happen happened.
And then this is the season two version again. Of that.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And all the things that I gush about and that I was happy about last time and whatnot, they just triple down on it here. Mm-hmm. And you get this moment where like you're just like, I'm like amazing high budget, fantastic quality action is happening. Mm-hmm. The animation is through the roof and you're like, you don't even care because the characters and the writing at that point is just so fucking airtight. Mm-hmm. The things the characters are doing and the reasons why they're doing them and how everyone is behaving is so believable and human and solid. And you're just like, fuck, man. You just have to sit back and like take it in.
At least having a moment here.
It
guys.
Was so good. It was so fucking good. And God, I'd love to get into it. Especially while it's so fresh in my mind. But all the things that you want to happen, you mm-hmm. know, they happen in an episode. And yeah, it took about 20 or so for it to happen in season one. And in season two, it's the halfway point because it's a shorter season. And then you fucking just, it just pays off and it feels so good. Really, really do watch season two if you finish season one.
So I've been informed that all that shit I was talking about is the arc after the one the anime is covering now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, my girlfriend read ahead, but kind of forgot the order of things. And so I wasn't too sure when I asked her about what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. But either way, it doesn't matter. What's going on now is fucking good.
Did they get the attack helicopters yet?
You just, yeah.
Yeah. That movie has like super screwed up my perception of that series with the APCs.
Yeah, don't worry about
fucking
it. So here's what you get. Oh, man. You get like, you get that thing where the whole like, you know, characters being smart and then there's you and then there's people that are dumber than you, right? Thing mm-hmm. that I talked about last time. Now it's shifting so that the characters that are smart are so far ahead of you and you, the viewer, are now scaling towards being the dumber of the people that are around, you know? And there's a couple other people that are, like, slower than you, the viewer. But for the most part, everyone is fucking on the level and or above. And it's just so satisfying.
Listen, we got to do this. And you're like, what? Why? And then idiot over there is like, why?
Well, there's a moment. There's a moment of there's a moment that's really interesting where, like, Armin does something that you're like, that's uncharacteristically slow of you. And it's like, it's because he's clouded and he's emotional about the thing. So he's not really thinking as quickly as he does. And then he goes, oh, wait. And then, and then not only does he catch up to where you're like, come on, dude. He then like realizes things about it that you, the viewer, were like, oh my God. Like,
yeah,
there's right. no way I would have caught on to that. And he shoots past where you expect him to yeah. be, you know? And okay. you go, fuck, this
but,
is
but
great.
But that's just like, because it doesn't happen a lot in anime. Characters usually are the same, depending on what type of anime. If it's a shonen type thing, they usually stay the same the entire time.
Yeah.
You know? Like, Naruto's always dumb.
Or yeah, whatever, yeah, yeah, yeah,
like, yeah. Sasuke's always this way. So when something like that is written differently, where a character is kind of going through, you just expect them to be stuck in that rut forever. So when a character does jump forward, and then you're like, oh, okay, cool, you stepped up. Now, what matters is, in will he do that again? Will he like slump down?
We'll
and
be
like,
see.
I'm really emotional.
We'll
and
see.
Then, okay.
Because it was a really good moment, and like what you got to as well happening here is like it's made better by you figure things out right at the pace that the show gives you information, and then you start to theorize about all kinds of shit, and a lot of the times it slowly gives you a little bit more so that you're like, yeah, I, you know what? I think my theory is right.
Right.
And if you are on the, if you are like, if you've thought about it enough and you're like, okay, this is what I'm pretty sure is going on here and this is what's happening. And then you're watching it with that in mind. Like
everyone else in the show starts to kind of, like, they're making facial expressions that wouldn't make sense unless you've kind of thought about that thing.
Okay, okay.
It's hard to talk in circles around this, yeah, but yeah, it's so fucking amazing. And then, like, eventually it's like, yeah, you know what? Stuff, right? Big information drop, and then you go, ah, it's great to find out this thing finally. Mm-hmm. And then it just justifies all the behavior that you've been paying attention to.
Okay, okay.
You
know, see,
and if you weren't looking for that, then that you might have just looked at that and went, oh yeah, that's just nothing. You know, if you're not looking for this thing, you don't see it.
Where are you watching this? Is it on Crunchyroll? Crunchyroll.
Okay. Crunchyroll.
Jeez. Like, people constantly say these words that I don't understand. They're like, yeah, Berserk season 2, and I was like, there's... They continued?
No, there wasn't. That was a lie.
It's not. I thought it was as well. But there's more Berserk.
There wasn't even a season 1.
Okay.
Crunchyroll.
Okay.
Good service. Sign up for it.
Yeah. I watched my J-dramas on Crunchyroll.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. No, I mean, look.
I watched the good stuff.
I originally signed up for it to be my JoJo delivery
service.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know.
Oh, man, I love that movie.
Then the other things came.
JoJo's delivery service? Yeah. Good one.
It'd be very different.
Yeah.
Kiki getting all buff.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, man. It's
You see the sequel? Princess Jononoke? It's a good one. This is good.
My Neighbor Totoro. There it is.
Oh, right.
Wait, how about Porco Jojo?
I mean, you can try to force the rest, but that's pretty good.
Okay.
That's not bad. Yeah. Hayao Araki. Okay, let's get into the news, shall we?
Jojo's Moving Castle.
Yeah, I was thinking of Dio's Moving Castle.
Dio's he's blonde.
Yeah, he looks kind of like him.
He's almost immortal. Like, yeah.
What's the other one?
I think Hauser with hair is black, but whatever.
Stand It Away. I don't think I'm gonna beat the one I said before. I'm gonna stick.
I guess Ponyo would just be called Jojo.
Yeah.
At that point.
On a boat. On a castle.
Jojo on a boat.
Yeah.
Willie, I have a new story that a fan on Twitter just popped up. You want to take a look at it. If you don't have it on the dock, we'll talk about it later, but we need to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, sure. We can get into that.
Okay, cool.
You want to start talking about movies?
Yeah, just really briefly. So, you know what's hot? Cinematic universes. Everyone has one, and they're all huge successes.
Did we discuss it? It was off podcast that we discussed
it. It was off podcast,
right?
But this is like way more details. So, Pat, I'm not sure if you know, but with the new movie, which I refuse to call The Mummy because the movie is just called Tom Cruise Punches Out a Woman Mummy. Mm-hmm. That's the name of it. Universal wants to start their monster universe.
Yes, I heard this.
Yeah. And it is now officially called The Dark Universe.
Yes.
I heard
about the casting for one of these people.
And Russell Crowe plays Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Great.
Tom Cruise plays... A mummy man. Johnny Depp is now casted as the Invisible Man.
That's correct.
The Invisible Man.
But who's the Wolf Man?
There is no Wolf Man right now. Javier Bardem is now just Frankenstein's monster, which I assume is very insulting to him.
Uh-huh.
Because he's like, why are you making me Frankenstein's monster? I'm like, because you kind of look like Frankenstein's monster. And there they go. Look at all their heroes. This lady Sophia, she's got a weird last name, is playing obviously the mummy lady.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise's character is Nick Morton. I don't know. So all these producers are clapping each other on the back saying, this is the greatest thing. I grew up on monsters. Danny Elfman is involved somehow.
Good pick.
He's scoring some things.
Good.
But this is going to like be a massive failure.
Yes. Yes.
Like,
I saw people telling me that the Wolfman was going to be Dwayne Johnson.
in a world like buff.
Hey, you want to talk about massive failures
in a world where Guillermo del Toro exists
and never got to make the Frankenstein movie that he's always wanted to make?
Go fuck yourself, entire cinematic universe.
Oh, fuck that. Hellboy's getting remade by some other dickbag.
For quite frankly, outside of getting Helm to helm this in the way that Whedon helmed the MCU,
mm-hmm.
like, there's no saving it.
I don't know if they have directors for all these things, but maybe he might wind up directing a Frankenstein. It's not even Frankenstein. It's like Bride of Frankenstein.
I'm not anyway. Never say never, but I get the feeling that he wouldn't want to be part of like big CG Hollywood monster universe. I feel like he would want to be
smaller scale, small, stuff, like occasionally Pacific Rim.
Yes, and well, what I mean is, I feel like he would want to go a much more subtle route with his horror.
Yeah, I guess.
And these are doing fucking I Frankenstein shit.
I don't know if it's gonna be that bad.
But you, like this, I get the feeling that this is the type of world they're setting up here.
You're not wrong.
The dark universe.
Although, like, you know, just Crimson Peak, like one of the more disappointing movies I've seen in, like, the last 10 years, given its pedigree and all that. So it's not like, you know, Gamble's invincible, but
nobody's perfect.
It's always perfect. But yeah, this thing, I don't know. I just don't know. The dark universe. Anyway.
You want to hear about it?
Thank you to Eduardo for sending that tweet.
You want to hear about a huge disaster?
Yes, I want to hear about a huge disaster.
So I did not see Alien Covenant. And I don't,
I'm seeing that today, actually.
I don't plan on seeing it.
Why? You learn some shit?
No, I just don't plan on seeing it.
Okay.
Until, like, I'm not going to go to theater and see it.
Okay.
So I went and just read up all over it. Mm-hmm. Alien is ruined.
Forever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Straight up.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Well.
That and on the flip side, there's photos of predators hanging out on a tank doing gang signs.
Yeah, like,
I'm super
excited. Wooly, here's the thing. Remember the argument we had the other 2 weeks ago where I was like, I wish that stuff had stayed unknown?
Yeah.
Like, I think we both hit an equilibrium on that. Like, I'm not saying you're wrong. I think we both had it, like, because it's stuff that we want, right?
Yep.
But in this case, mm-hmm. boy, it would have been better to not get those answers.
But I mean,
because they're bad.
I can't tell. Let's assuming, like, because I don't know what you read, but assuming you're right and it's as bad as you say, I can't tell if it's better or worse that Ridley did it himself.
It's way worse.
So I looked it up. I looked up how this happened. Right? So the reason why I say it's ruined is because this film touches Alien. Like it actually interacts with it. Like, it, you know what I mean? Like, it affects it.
Yeah.
So its stink is now on the good movies.
Yeah.
And the reason it's like this is because Ridley Scott wanted to do a fucking, like, you know, pseudo prequel to Aliens, okay. right?
Yeah.
And then Damon Lindelof came on to write it, and he's the Lost guy.
Well, there was a script before that was apparently quite good and different from mm-hmm. Prometheus. Then David Lindelof.
So Lindelof comes on, he's like, gonna be a trilogy, and it's gonna have all these big ideas. And then Prometheus didn't do all that well, and then Lindelof is like, bye.
That's good.
Fix that shit.
Yeah. But that's
and
good.
And then you just left Ridley Scott to do a movie or more. Because so Prometheus doesn't end, right?
Hold on. How much of the framework was done?
None.
Okay.
But, like, Prometheus, the end of Prometheus sets up for more
tons.
In a way that it's weird to just leave it. And
I mean,
that's
so that's no sorry. Excuse okay, to make hold another on. Movie, though.
So he was on board.
Mm-hmm. And then Prometheus came out. And then he left and didn't do the other two movies.
Did he know from the beginning? Like, was Prometheus planned to be
the first of a trilogy?
Initially, no.
And he knew this?
Yes, and he wrote it that way. And then he left.
Okay.
It's like, hey, guys, I know you just want to build, like, a small little deck, but I think we should make a treehouse.
Yeah. Okay, we
built the first part of the treehouse. I'm out of here! And then the guys left building is like, I didn't even want to fuck a treehouse.
Yeah.
I just wanted to build a deck.
Okay.
So I feel confident. I feel strongly in my heart that I can blame all this on Lost.
Okay. At the end of the day, though, when it's like, when there's a new entry in a franchise that's like, I can't let that pass, like Terminator or like Alien or Predator or like whatever. It's like, I'll always be there to see just because I gotta know.
Well, my...
You know, not to say that you're never going to see it, but like in the theater, I'm like, I gotta go.
Yeah,
like,
you went to go see AVP in theater.
Yeah.
Well, here's
I never did.
Here's the problem.
No, you did.
Requiem.
Yes, exactly.
Not Requiem, the original. Not
like the examples you used are perfect. Cause Alien and Terminator are the perfect example of this. They weren't franchises when they were good. They were the first one and the second one. Mm-hmm. And then the instant they turned into franchises, every single one was bad.
Mm.
Three onwards for both. Every single one was bad. To varying degrees. Like, three's kind of bad for Terminator.
I still bet
Salvation's really bad.
I
like Predators. Dude, is Genesis way better than Predator
is
2.
Way better than fucking Salvation.
Genesis, yes, absolutely, is
infinitely better than Salvation. Better than
yeah, but it's Salvation. Still bad.
Yeah,
you know,
you gonna compare that to T2?
No, but I'm gonna say that like it let like
because you just said they were no wait he said they're all bad. He didn't say they get worse.
No, it's just like these should never have been franchises.
I mean,
these should have been like the first one and the second.
We walked
one.
Out of Genesis going, all right, if you recall.
Yeah,
you know.
Yes, I did. But that doesn't make it good.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that.
I went to the movies and I had a good time.
I'm just saying that.
They should have stopped them at 2.
Well, that doesn't happen with business.
You know, but a sequel, it's more or less a franchise. Like, there's tons of marketing for this sequel. There's, like, toys for Terminator 2.
Well,
like,
I'll,
it's a sequel. It's a franchise at that point.
I'll say the same thing I said the last time. It's like Aliens has been being actively ruined for literally my entire life.
That's fair to say.
Okay. Well,
I was born right after Aliens came out, and everything after has been bad.
Now I just like had to like
I'm 31, man.
I had to barf a little bit because at the end of this trailer for
I heard a scoff. The dark, coming from your
the Dark Universe Monsters Legacy. I want you to pay attention to how they introduce the logo. As like the Universal logo with the same font and everything.
But that's cool.
But it's a dark planet, so it says Dark Universe.
I don't know, that's cool, man.
Boo.
Anyway, I'm guessing that a part of this in internally for them as well is to like introduce a fuck ton of rides.
And plus they own
Universal right. Studios. Go ride Russell Crowe on the Jekyll Master. Yeah.
Like a you know the big
Jekyll Master.
Like the I can imagine a huge reason a huge reason why like they'd back this in that way is because they can make a massive ride.
Also, they want to fucking update the Brendan Fraser fucking mummy ride I went on at Universal Studios that was still playing DVD behind the scenes extras of Mummy 2 when you're waiting in line. Okay. And I'm like, why am I? The movies are done. They're over. Why are they?
So there's this one quote here that says, with the Dark Universe.
It's very infuriating when you're there.
This one Dark Universe thing says, this would be unconnected to the Warner Brothers Justice League Dark film, which former writer-director Guillermo del Toro titled Dark Universe during his work on the project.
Okay, and guess what? Because he's not working on that anymore.
So he actually did have the name.
Yeah, you're hearing that too, huh?
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, he actually did have the name Dark Universe used at some point. On a completely different thing, I guess.
Well, because it was supposed to be like the Vertigo side of DC movies.
Well, hey, man, while we're talking about giant film franchises that we're looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, what are you going to fucking throw down?
Your favorite.
I fucking hate you.
Oh, please, what is it?
I don't know. I don't even know what it's going to be, but I can tell just from the front.
Yes! Awesome!
God damn it!
It's great. Can't wait.
Is this new? Is this breaking to you?
Yeah.
Well, you sound.
They're making more.
Sounds like
movies.
It worked. You sound pretty broken.
They're making more Resident Evil movies, and they're going to be a reboot.
How many more Resident Evil movies, Matt?
6.
So, Resident Evil.
Well, planned to be 6.
They're planning to start that shit over, and they're planning 6. New Resident Evil movies.
And the screen and the piece of art they show shows they're literally just going to tell the whole fucking thing over.
And
I don't know. That could be from anything.
Safe to assume that Paul and Millie are no longer going to be a part of this.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because that final chapter was, I guess, the final chapter. But when you look
Even though the end of it like really implied it was Millie's like, oh, we have lots more work to do. And she just rides off in the sunset.
They've
all ended that way.
Yeah, that's the ending of all of them. You're right.
They're like the numbers on how much money this fucking series
It's one of
makes,
Sony's most successful franchises.
It doesn't like you can't even count it anymore.
I think all together they've all made like $1 billion like cumulatively.
Like if final chapter brought in $285 million internationally. On a budget of $40 million, says here.
See, they don't make tons of money, but what they do make is tons more money than the production.
They cost.
Yeah.
And then if you add that all together and fucking just keep it,
So
going
as a huge fan, I am looking forward to this just because I like this like never ending train wreck.
So they, so what? They're all terrible, right? Oh
yeah.
Okay.
Generally, they're all terrible. But some are like guilty pleasures. Like I'll watch that if that's on TV, and some I won't.
So how does this explain how much money it makes? Because personally,
people are stupid and they have bad taste.
Personally, I don't know. I don't have any friends that like go, fuck yeah, I can't wait to go see that.
No.
No.
I mean, I do in terms of like, I want to see this turd.
Have you gone to see them all?
Not all in theaters, but I have seen them all.
You've seen them all. Even I haven't.
Okay. Because if everyone...
I went to see the third one in theaters and I checked the fuck out.
If everyone is kind of like, yeah, pay for my ticket, there we go. Then I can kind of...
Do you know what that means?
Understand, but
it means that you don't know enough stupid people.
I don't know. But that's so much money, and it's always number one, and there's six
Well, maybe,
of them.
Maybe it's just
the
same...
The last one was a number one.
Maybe it's just the same stupid people going to see it over and over.
It's because at the end of the day, they're schlocky, check your brain out at the door things and watch a bunch of monsters get killed by a sexy lady or whatever. But, like, I can understand how it scrapes by, basically. And I think because as time has gone on, international markets, especially China, are huge now. Like, most movies make back their money on the international markets rather than North America.
I'm just kind of weirded out, I guess, because, you know, there's massive franchises I ignore, like Wild Speed and Transformers.
That's your fault.
Yes, it is. But, like...
It's your fault.
But those things, I understand how and why they're massive money machines, right? I get the franchise and how it's so profitable. But Resident Evil as like a video game related thing, I guess, I feel like I would understand a bit more of what and how it was appealing to people in this way. And I just don't get how.
I think I just explained. It's like, I'm sure some of the audience is people that that are people that like Resident Evil or interested in Resident Evil and I want to see the new movie, whatever. Or it's like me where I want to laugh at it. Combined with people that just want to watch a schlocky action movie and see monsters get blown up, like I think that's a big enough audience that that's why they make money.
It's just when Zack Snyder fucks up and everyone hates his shit.
And keeps getting work.
He keeps getting work, but like you can see where they go like, oh, this movie underperformed here or underperformed there and whatnot. But in Resident Evil's case with Paul W.S. Anderson, it's overperforming every single time. You know? Yeah. So I
think the last one literally was the least successful of like the last three or something. And like where they were like, I made back money, it's fine, but like it didn't like, you know, it made $10 million less than the last one, which means diminishing returns.
Well, you know, we all know that the best thing you can do when you want to reboot or announce a multi-movie deal is to come out and talk about how many you're going to make before the first one even exists.
Yeah, listen,
out pointing at the stands with the three or four bats.
See, this doesn't
swing.
Work. This doesn't work in video games.
Spit your fucking bubble gum out and
listen,
just Babe Ruth it.
Evolve will have the most aggressive DLC plan of any game ever.
King Arthur will be part of a multi-movie franchise.
Wow.
Guy Ritchie's planning to put together.
That's not real.
That was the original plan.
Really?
Yeah.
I never heard that because that thing fucking bombed.
Well, it's fucking gone now, but yeah, King Arthur was originally planned to be a multi-thing.
There's this weird thing where the
universe.
Average person can look at a movie like that and go, that's going to fucking bomb.
Of course.
And that's like a year out. They can see that.
Do you know why that was even made? Because that was made by Guy Ritchie, right? So the idea was like, well, you did so well with Sherlock Holmes, a British fictional character. So why don't we put you in the director's seat to bring this other character like into prominence and get like it didn't fucking work.
I watched an interview with him longer than the movie itself about him talking about why he was going to make it and such because he sat in on Joe Rogan and it was a really good listen and he has very.
Would you say it's a better interview than the film?
I didn't see the film,
could you guess?
I would assume.
Yeah.
He has
that something like 15%.
He has very good and interesting reasons for wanting to try that out while you know, and sort of expand what he wants to work on. And his plan is to do the continue doing like English crime,
yeah,
but on like TV or okay. on Netflix and that type of
that's
thing.
Fine.
So that's basically what his plan is, and he wants to try this other stuff. But either way, the point is that they came out and they're like, "Yeah, man, this is going to be a massive franchise."
But if someone said we're planning to make this huge, massive tentpole franchise around King Arthur, I'd be like, fucking, it's going to fail.
No.
And was a King Arthur movie like 10 years ago with Clive Owen. It was just called King Arthur. And that fucking failed. There's a video game of it. I played it.
Either way.
All these things are real things that happen.
I feel like the shit that does take off and become like actually successful at this, they never call it from the start. Right, it always like it's on the way to being a success, and then they're like, "All right, we've got a massive thing going." Maybe they might have talked about it with Harry Potter. I don't know. They definitely talked about it
because they filmed the first two movies back to back. They knew,
and of course, always. Lord of the Rings, you know, and all that
Lord
shit.
Of the Rings, yeah,
but like these are the franchises that like created a thing that then everyone tries to aspire to. So it's like the originators are the biggest successes here. And
then the pretenders rarely ever.
You know, and I honestly feel that like the Avatar series is franchise is going to be there's too much money for it to fail.
Yeah.
So Avatar 2 through 7.
When those come out in like another 10 years.
You know, those are probably going to still make a ton because
unless the things have changed the rankings, it's like I think Avatar is still on the top of the list of like made the most money ever. I think.
Something don't know,
might have gotten trumped by something.
But one way or another, I think history shows you that it's a really dumb idea to come out and the first thing you announce is how many movies you're making in a connected cinematic universe.
Like I said before, in video games, real, real bad idea to do that because that's failed almost every time. In movies, it has a higher batting average of actually being successful.
Unless episodic is what you're doing in the video game.
Yeah, well, that's a different thing.
In which case, like, the game is
we're talking about Advent Rising. We're talking about
a complete
about,
game
like, yeah,
connected
yeah.
to multiple
talking
things.
About two human.
Talking about two human. I was about to say Shadow of the Eternals.
It's a unique case because instead of the franchise going forward, it actually went backwards to zero.
Oh god!
So I'm looking forward to these movies.
I honestly,
I want them to do RE4. I want them to do Code Veronica. I want like do the game story. Like they're written for you.
Didn't they cover
even RE4 is like a dumb action movie?
Didn't they basically cover everything?
No,
over the course
they covered
of these movies?
Barely anything.
No, because they were all just vehicles for Paul W.S. Anderson
to
give
his wife do things.
Of course.
Like
what I was going to say was didn't they cover everything by sticking Milia in it?
Like, no, they covered absolutely
shit,
zero.
Dude, we're talking about shit like classic RE characters like Chris and people getting like killed off screen.
Well, in the movie's like, universe the world is long dead. It's just
it was
a
dead in the third one.
Like
it was dead in the third one.
This is like
six.
This is like fucking Raul Julia Street Fighter getting multiple sequels.
Taking
over the cinematic world.
You say that shit to me and that gets me so excited. I want that to have happened.
Understand like where Street Fighter goes on to be Jean-Claude Van Damme's most successful franchise.
There's no one in the world I hate more right this minute than Udon Entertainment, and I'll tell you why really since you asked me. The reason why is because they put out a fake cover on April 1st for a comic book sequel to the Raul Julia Street Fighter.
It was just an homage cover. It was an homage cover. That's all it was.
So bad.
But
that'd be amazing.
But like that idea of that going on to be a like 7-part juggernaut.
It's so cool.
I can't. Imagine.
So happy. I can imagine.
No.
I know. I'm right there with him. I can also imagine.
I wouldn't live in that world.
Yeah, you'd kill yourself?
I'm opting out of this universe. Oh, fuck.
I guarantee you, if the Raul Julia universe of Street Fighter continued, maybe Street Fighter V would have done better.
At least.
But it would have looked like Mortal Kombat.
And been way more successful.
At least they never made Resident Evil games based on these movies.
Oh, every day I wish for that too.
Unless there's some mobile shit
that'd
I don't
great.
Know about.
Maybe.
I wouldn't
maybe.
Be surprised.
Well, they did put Red Queen, which is a movie thing, into the canon of RE.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. You like that, don't you?
Trying to think. The closest thing is probably Umbrella Corps.
Yeah. And even then, because that's like
it's trying to match the tone, but anyway, not really.
What else we got? That was fun.
No, that's it. I
enjoyed everything about this conversation.
I'm still just trying to rack my brain to think about like
you get some notes out. You do some work. Show me your work next week.
Has it worked? You know
what?
Has anyone announced the big plan and then it stuck to it and it was totally a success?
As of now, I mean, I guess you could say the DCU, but there doesn't seem to be a consistent plan there. It's just like, I guess the same thing as the Marvel thing, just faster, where it's like, everyone introduce your movies, but we're not going to introduce people's movies before Justice League comes out.
Yeah. We're going to have those movies later. League has apparently been remade like multiple times with reshoots.
I have not heard this.
If we can just go back in time and find the press release where Tecmo Koei said, the Dynasty Warriors universe,
19 games strong. Do you remember? Tecmo Koei did do something like that.
Did they announce like 8 or 9 games at once?
That years ago on the 360, they announced how the Tecmo Koei would be propped up by 3 pillars.
Yeah.
Oh, the 3 pillars. I do remember that.
I remember that. It was Ninja Gaiden, it was Dead or Alive, and it was Quantum Theory. Oh,
God, Omega Force. All right.
No, wait. Quantum Theory? What was it called?
Quantum Theory.
The way you said that was great.
Gotta kill it.
I remember how stupid that name is.
Gotta kill it.
I'm checking right now.
Was it GOTA or was it KIL?
It was KIL.
Gotta kill it.
All right. Oh God. I gotta make like a series where I just talk about like Quantum Theory, Inversion, Fracture, and all those fucking shit 360 PS3 games.
And that's the pile.
That's Quantum Theory.
Void.
That's the pile that people thought Vanquish was on.
Yeah, reviewers. We talked about
reviewers
that,
thought Vanquish was on that pile.
Amazing.
So
now
that's,
all those reviewers are dead.
Now that that's out of the way.
Yes.
Now that we've addressed everything that we've needed to about the movies.
Okay.
Let's get into games, and
need to talk about games a bit.
Let's get into video games being saved.
Who saved video games?
Nintendo saved video games.
Nintendo saved video games.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Okay. Well,
it's time to talk about Twintel.
I mean, what's to say, really?
Well, we got our wish of normal human.
Okay. This is one of the only times in recent memory I can remember where the internet frenzy
is correct.
One-to-one with what it should be. And the absolute mania going on right now for Twintel is deserved because she's the fucking best.
She's great.
Holy shit, fuck the rest of the cast. It's all over. It's all done.
I wouldn't go
It's
that.
All about that butt.
Okay. She's very, very attractive.
Twintel's amazing.
Everything about Twintel screams Trifusion.
Oh, man.
You said that last week about something.
What a good character.
I did.
What was it?
I think it was Twintel off camera.
No.
Well.
Oh, no.
Kid Cobra's
said,
dope.
I like Kid Cobra.
How do you like new main Kid Cobra?
Yeah. Hey, Wooly's new main Kid Cobra. Get that out of my face.
I think King Cobra's gimmick is way better than his character.
Oh, he's dope. And in a world where Twintel didn't exist, I'd be talking about this guy.
Kid Cobra's gimmick of, I need to join this fighting tournament because no one watches my Twitch is hilarious.
That world. Bite and Bark? Sure.
I like Bite and Bark a lot.
Yeah, let's talk about the cops.
Because his mechanics are like, use the dog as a platform to jump off that only he can do. That's
no,
awesome.
No, I like
me a Bowser and Blitz from Cop.
No, I was about to say that. Fuck,
destroyed.
Bowser destroyed. And Blitz.
I was about to say that's motherfucking Bowser and Blitz.
That's awesome.
Turbo Two Tone.
And they battle together. They combine even. Cool form, don't they?
Cops,
man, awesome. Plus dog combine.
Finally, we will know.
So that's great.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter because fucking Twintel.
You can't just have Twintel mirrors all day.
Oh, man.
What was the other things? They announced that there's going to be like free DLC for fighters, which is crazy to me, and stages and shit, and new arms too.
So they announced a lot of things. Yeah,
Oh, all those fucking modes, like the V-ball, hoops, skill shot, all that shit looked really fun. The only one that didn't like the skill shot was like a little, just breaking targets. But like,
you have to
throw someone to slam dunk them into a fucking giant oversized basketball hoop. Like, all those minigames look fun. I was like really happy with that shit. And the global test punch, it's going to be the end of this week, like Friday, I think. I think it's the 25th.
Yeah, they give
the first one, maybe. Anyway,
it's working out. It's working out. Looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I'm happy with what's going on.
Yep, that's the cover.
That's the new cover. Yep. Butts everywhere.
They're doing it.
And look, Chip Biscuit had to get his fucking name up there. I like what it's rated though. It's rated thick.
With two C's.
So that works out. Good job, Nintendo.
But Nintendo finally saving itself by putting asses on things.
And we can finally stop thinking about Little Mac for a little bit.
We can, but I still would love him to be in it like we've discussed before.
It would be the best universe. It would be the best timeline. But, you know, this will do for now. And we soldier on. But temporarily, video games are saved.
Temporarily.
For now.
For at least a month. But we don't know what's going to happen after that.
So, well, we actually do know what's going to happen.
You're just going to leave that ass on the screen, huh?
Until the next news story.
Okay, sure.
We do know what's going to happen because various companies have made various announcements.
Various.
And
a multitude of plethora.
Well, here's the thing, right? If the karma of Twintel didn't pop up this week, we would have been in a really dark place because, like, the forces of evil were very strong.
All right, let's hear it.
It's the complete opposite in terms of like momentum.
Out with it, man.
Yeah, please.
I'm pulling it up. Let me pull it up while I get to it.
Just pull it out.
Just pull it out.
Whip it out?
No. I said pull.
You take too long.
Sonic Forces.
I forgot.
You wanted it.
I did not want that shit.
Here it is.
God, that's
here it is.
Like, but this is like the biggest money making scheme that will work. Like, every single Sonic fan will buy this.
People
game.
In my Discord keep going like, "Hey, Pat, what about that song?" And I just go, "I don't want to talk."
So
about
there's Sonic Forces. There is an old man that I'm
going
to say.
Thinking the third character is going to be Bubsby.
Bubsy?
No, Bubsby? No. He said Bubsby, and he meant it.
Okay.
I think his name is Bubsby.
No, it's Bubsy.
The cat?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Bubsy. Bubsy.
No, sure. I know, but I think it's pronounced Bubsby the game.
Super, like, as
oh, really? Super, like,
because there's Bubsy a theme 3D? Song.
Like, they pronounce it wrong right away.
I think. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I remember everyone saying no.
I mean, it's Bubsy. Like, that's the name of the
I hope whatever, that everyone who plays this game dies.
So, I want to say there's an old man, probably just over retirement age, Japanese, working over at Sega at some point, I think. You know, let's say he's in his, like, late 60s to early 70s,
so Yuji Naka?
And he was around for a while. And every time the proposition came in to allow custom Sonic characters, he would go, no! And he would
never
be there to hold the button down to not allow custom Sonic characters.
Only I can make custom characters. And here's the 20 new fucking Sonic friends.
And at some point, in between the introduction of the Sonic Twitter and
I'm sure the guy that runs the Sonic Twitter is the one that said you need to put this in the game.
And the introduction of Christian Whitehead into the Sonic franchise officially. He died and he released the button and shook off this mortal coil.
Yeah.
And his ghost flew out of his body.
This
and by releasing the button, Sonic Custom Heroes are
so
here.
Just to give you a bit of background, while I was in Cuba, I literally had no internet access at all, except for I had to buy a paid card to like just answer a few emails or whatever. So the first thing that happens when I got back to Canada is I turn on my phone, I go on Twitter, and then I just write, "I'm gone 5 days and the world is on fire."
Listen.
Now this is
do you know
announced.
What this is?
Like, this is the canon inclusion of Prego Shinkai, the hog.
No.
The hedgehog.
It's
John the Prego Hedgehog.
So all of the advancements in creepy Sonic technology have led up to this. This is the singularity. This is the singularity of Sonic creepiness, in which Sonic creepy bizarro shit is now going to advance at faster and faster rates until the end
of
time.
Well, it's been enabled at this point. But here's the thing, though.
The limiters are off.
This just happened to Dragon Ball, right? We saw Xenoverse pop out and the custom thing.
Dragon Ball is not Sonic.
Dragon Ball is not Sonic.
Sonic is Dragon Ball, though.
And people have been making that's pretty apt. People have been making their own fucking custom Dragon Ball characters forever. Obviously, we employ one from time to time, but the fucking the official now means to go in and do the shit that Sonic Dreams Collection was warning us about.
Warning us,
turn away from the abyss.
I don't know. I don't know what happens to our world
and
now.
And kudos for them picking in that trailer like the most Sonic OC character ever.
Glasses, a fox, gloves,
boots,
headset,
gadgets,
belts. Yep.
Right. It's a race to whoever can get in-game Sonic Forces art of 420 the Hedgehog on my Twitter account.
Prego Shinkai the Darkhog. From our Sonic Dreams playthrough.
My favorite's always going to be 420.
I feel like that's what it was, or something around there. Time for a comeback. I guess it's lore now.
I guess so.
So here's the question. On the character screen, are you going to be able to do your fucking Prego Shinkai Dark Edge Sonic? But in the background, are you going to be able to put Shrek in the Twin Towers and all that stupid shit that you need to make your character really sing? No. Mistakes and Miracles.
Let's not.
Will there be a Prego slider?
you know what one makes me really uncomfortable? The slider that makes people's knees engorged. I hate that shit.
The Prego slider goes from one to litter.
Okay. It's Shinokai, but then you did it close enough.
Prego Shinokai, the Rebel King Hedgehog.
That shit's canon.
Time to bring it back.
Canon.
Time to bring it back. Wow. That's why we need Twintel in our lives.
To counteract that.
Because this is about to get dark.
But maybe you can make a character that looks just as good as her. Maybe it's really
Sonic style.
Sonic style stuff with her on her. Yeah. It's possible. Creativity is boundless. Well, you should know this,
man. But
maybe you can make your own Twintel Hedgehog.
What I'm wondering is if they're going to make every accessory of all of those comic only characters over the years.
So you can make that one guy you guys don't never remember.
Yeah, exactly. I'm wondering if they're going to allow you because to get in there and to really appease to the fan base, letting you build all those comic book only characters that people have forgotten about over the fucking 20 years that it's been going on. Whew. Anyway, so yeah, Sonic Forces is a video game and it's a Sonic game.
No, man, it's a way of life.
And you can build your own. What Mobian? I don't know what you'd call it, though.
Mobian is America only.
America only, I know, and it pisses everybody off.
Yeah.
So it's kind of enjoyable, but whatever. You can build your own Sonic world.
You can build your own Sonic friend.
Friend. Yep. Build your own goddamn Chaotix member.
Chaotix, good.
Yeah.
I like most of the Chaotix guys.
Vex is a cool alligator.
He is. He likes the beat. All right. There's nothing more to say.
That's fine.
I'm upset.
Prego Shinokai, the Rebel King. I'm
upset. Okay, so there's a bunch of game announcements. We could go through them quickly.
Yeah. Do it. Do it.
I like that when it's rapid fire.
Announce games.
All right. First off, detail. It's not so much an announcement as it is a detail. Screenshots and gameplay of Destiny 2 popped up.
Wow, it looks like DLC.
And there's a trailer for it. And right now, they dropped a date. Where was it? The date was
later.
September 8th.
So I think that looks like an expansion pack for real. But probably the most interesting thing to me is that it's going to be coming out on Blizzard on PC.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
It's the first time Activision has put their games out on Blizzard stuff. Like, because all, you know, they've been Activision Blizzard for forever.
Yep.
But they have, for all intents and purposes, acted like completely separate entities.
Yeah, yeah.
And yep. At this point, it's like, hey, Wooly, you use the Blizzard launcher.
Yep.
It used to be Battle.net.
Yep.
And you've used Origin, and you've used Steam.
Yep.
And you've even used Uplay.
Yep.
How would you rate the Blizzard launcher?
Fantastic.
Yep. It's completely fine. The only problem with it is that it only has Blizzard games on it.
But it doesn't exist the moment you launch your game.
And it works fine every time you use it.
Yep.
It's a good place for that game to live.
I don't like how you have to scroll through your friends list if you have a lot of friends. Yeah. But guess what? In the game, there's another screen with an easier to navigate friends
and
list.
And there's a search bar.
And whenever they implement things from it into the game, they're not this fucking overlay that's dropped that slows the frame rate down and darkens the effect over the screen or whatever the fuck. It's actually a menu dedicated in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Having to pull up that Origin shit every time is goddamn infuriating. But yeah, Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Looks
like more Destiny 1.
Yeah, looks like more Destiny.
Like a bunch of, like, I watched that stuff and it's like there's a, like.
How's the voice acting?
Fine, I guess.
Okay.
Cedric Daniels is there.
Cool.
Probably still.
Cool.
Hopefully this is a better, more complete game than the original, because the original was severely lacking in a lot of ways.
Are there more awesome third-person super moments? Because I like those.
They're okay, yeah.
I like those a lot.
I guess there's a couple.
All
the same classes. Mm-hmm. New weapon type. You know, it's a fucking by-the-numbers sequel that looks like an expansion pack. If Destiny was an MMO, this would be an expansion pack, period.
Well here's the one thing. As we were talking
about...
I
thought it was an MMO.
No. They say that it's not, so they can get away from unfair comparisons to every other MMO that exists.
Okay. Now, when this was announced, as we're talking about the fucking Babe Ruthing your franchise, they said Destiny was a 10-year project, did they not?
Yeah.
Yes. It's super dead.
Destiny 1 came out in 2014.
That's right.
It's been 4 years?
Well, Destiny 2 is supposed to come out 2 years ago. Or Destiny 2 is supposed to come out last year, rather. Everything about the production of Destiny 1 was a shit show. So hopefully Destiny 2 is them getting on their feet.
So I guess the idea of calling it a 10-year franchise was just a mistake.
Well, it's by default going to be a 10-year franchise if they take just as long to make the third one.
Well, you mean more like the one game was supposed to be a platform.
I misread the quote, but I thought they meant
Destiny
the one
2
game.
And 3 were always in the cards, and people found that out during the Activision lawsuit in which plans for Destiny 2 and 3 were in there.
Okay. All right. Fair enough then.
So like I don't think there's going to be...
It was the main reason why Activision was so upset to actually have to have the Zampella and... other guy, I forget his name, a lawsuit in open court, because then all their shit came out and it's like, well, you see this game, a bunch of Destiny games got announced because of like legal briefs.
Because I remember when the one was announced and I was scrolling through that website and looking at the big cool image of the Traveler and stuff, and I remember rolling over to Liam and talking about it and just being like, they're calling this a decade-long investment in this franchise, and like that sounds like ambitious as fuck, because everything about the wording of it made me think were going to support one game for
Halo,
10 years.
Oh, we're going to be working on Halo for 10 years.
No, it's like World of Warcraft, if anything.
Yeah, that's
where they're like, we're going to pull it up and we're going to keep supporting
World
it.
Warcraft
and it's going to make enough money for us
still
to
be around
keep it going.
For, like, Overwatch is going to be around for like maybe 10 years
okay.
for all we know.
But without a monthly subscription model, I don't see how a game
well,
could...
Well, luckily they put in overpriced, disgusting cosmetic items that are super, super expensive by any standard.
Because WoW works.
WoW and 14 are the only two that actually like work on that model anymore.
Well, you can keep a thing going
but
for 10 years when it keeps making money.
The way that Destiny has been talked about has been really frustrating to me, because they talk about it like an MMO when it's positive, but when people will go, well, if it's going to be that kind of online game, where's this? Where's that? Are we going to carry our characters forward? Are we going to, you know, stuff like that? They go, well, it's not an MMO, and they want to play it both ways,
right?
And they want to straddle the fence on literally every single issue, and it's frustrating because there are a lot of people that got way into Destiny 1, and like the question of is my character going to move forward is a pretty valid fucking question if you're raiding in a game, right? And now the answer is maybe? I still don't even know.
Well,
I didn't look it up.
They had their solution for the DLC, right? Where you actually, if you started a new... What was it? You started
a new
character.
They gave you a boost potion.
An item that fucking shoots you up to catch you up. So you don't have to worry about like being off level or whatever.
But it's not like an MMO.
Maybe it'll be like Mass Effect 2.
Maybe. It doesn't look like Mass Effect 2.
Well, you know.
There are a lot of folks out there who are big fans of Destiny. I can understand you're disappointed with me saying it looks like DLC, but like, it was to my personal view that Destiny 1 was rough around the edges, but it was a good start. And I was expecting to see with the reveal of Destiny 2, an Assassin's Creed 2, a Mass Effect 2, one of those, right? Where it's just like, okay, that first one was a little rough. We're going to knock it out of the park. I don't see that.
That's more like the game, like Destiny 1 still gets like maybe DLC like up until like a few months ago. I don't really know. But it's like the fact that, the fact that this is like announced and it's like coming out, it's like there was no way this was going to be a big jump forward. Plus, I assume there's only one big team at Bungie.
Yes, I believe there is.
If I had to take a guess, they're probably just going to say, fuck it, start over.
They should. And say, start over, but moving forward from now. Because a lot of problems in Destiny 1 were related to how fucked up their engine was.
Mm.
So hopefully they fix it by now.
Speaking of Assassin's Creed.
Due out before March 31st, 2018, the new Shocker. Assassin's Creed has been announced to possibly be titled Origins, to have two protagonists in naval combat. That's all we know.
It'll be self-confirmed. It will launch in its current fiscal year. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's all we know. All
right. Well, that's...
We talked about this off mic as well, but I'm personally still kind of checked out.
Well, he's nice and checked out. I'm somewhat checked out, Matt.
I've checked out, but I'm super back in for this if it delivers what it promises.
I have one foot out the door. But you could convince me to turn around and come back in the building.
Because the last Assassin's Creed game I played to completion was 4, which is to me is like
good game.
One of the high good. Benchmarks of the game.
It's probably.
And this is an era I like. The changes that are rumored to be
in. Is Black Flag the best one?
That's the last one I played.
I stopped
at Black Flag.
I'm not sure if it's the best. It might be the best one, but it's not the one I like the most. Like, I really, really liked Brotherhood.
I think Brotherhood and Black Flag are tied up there,
but yeah. I didn't play Unity. I didn't play Syndicate at all.
Syndicate's fine.
Yeah, but I was just not interested in them. And then I'm like, oh, ancient Greece, ancient Egypt, the Mediterranean.
There is one thing that really does frustrate me quite a bit if it's going back to ancient, like, BC Egypt. And that's like one of the things that I actually really liked about Syndicate is that you saw them like struggling to deal with the fact that they were catching up. Like Syndicate has like a fucking World War One sequence in it. And like you can only because each game went forward in time, right?
Yeah.
And now they're like, nope. And they're just dragging that timeline as far back as they could possibly go.
Yeah.
I guess, we talked about it a couple of times with plot theories and stuff, but it was just the idea that they probably realized they should have just made it about jumping anywhere.
Yep.
So that they didn't get restricted
absolutely.
You know, and so they're trying to, I guess, like save the brand by making it not at all about the secondary plot that it used to be about and making it about moving forward and preparing for this and blah, blah, blah. And now it's just, you know, vacationing in the past, you know, as you play as a compelling character or whatever the fuck. But
another reason why I like this is that it brings to a time period where I can, if I kind of like unblur my eyes, I can kind of maybe think it's a Prince of Persia game.
Maybe, but I
couldn't do that with
Syndicate. One day.
After the Chronicle stuff and whatnot, and I've checked out of the last two games, and
that's why I'm surprised you're not like, I'll give this a go. It's been
because I'm still like really just like tired of the general format. And
what do you mean by the general format? Because again, it's not confirmed, but if you see a trailer for this game that says, here's how we're changing the format, is that something that are you just tired of Assassin's Creed?
That's part of it, and also. As much as it was like, oh, the stupid fucking Desmond future timeline or whatever, I cared about the parallel timeline from the get-go.
Well, I liked it in 1 and 2 a lot.
Exactly. And I was invested in that part of it.
I stopped caring about that a long time ago.
And to me, it's like, I stopped caring because, yeah, sure, like, it's way more cool, it's way more interesting to just follow Kenway's adventures, but I still wanted there to be an interesting, like, parallel thing that they were setting up. Like, I still wanted there to be a cool, like, Abstergo plot line.
You wanted to see that the man behind the curtain had value.
I liked the idea of a build-up to something.
Yeah, But
we never got that payoff. We never got that buildup. We switched courses and steered onto something where we can now pick a timeline and jump through it, which is fine.
That's fine. I'd rather if they can't do that, which they weren't able to provide two compelling things, I'd rather them buckle the fuck down and get rid of one.
I get why it is where it's at, and I know that
you forget that there's still an ongoing future timeline thing with Minerva coming back from the dead.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that, but
it doesn't matter.
I know that you guys enjoyed like 4 and stuff like that as well. Like I know that those were not bad games or anything, but I'm personally, I guess, just yeah, I think the franchise has worn me down too much, and maybe something really, really refreshing, you know, would do it. But to be honest, even dream settings to are at this point are kind of exhausting. Because
what if it was China?
But I wanted China in Chronicles.
You got it then.
Yeah, but it was not good.
Whoops.
But, I mean, to be fair.
It was the fall? Well, we got. Russia and then India.
Those are very. Those are 2D side scrolling games made by a completely different company.
Of course, but the setting is the thing that I cared about.
Yeah, but if they brought back China, like if it was China or Japan this time for this big game, would you be like, no, you spurned that with me the first time? I'm not going to be interested.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know enough about it. I just, the way I feel right now is pretty tired. And if I saw something that went, whoa, then I'd be like, yeah, okay. But right now, I feel like it's the brand almost.
How about if after 4, they stopped making them?
Yeah, that would have been great.
And that, like, no Chronicles.
And then brought back Prince of Persia.
Well, no, I was going to say, then brought back with this, like a naval, like more naval combat. And ancient Greece and all this shit.
I find the weird one is that we're going really far back in time. I'm not exactly sure how far back.
Well, I think that in that rumor list of stuff, because it's called Origins, like this is actually the start.
But it's also going to have the naval combat from the
naval combat can go back.
I know, but it's like
it starts storyline wise
because if we're going to have naval combat like it was in the older ones,
yeah,
you can only go as far back as prior to the invention of gunpowder.
Oh, right. You mean in terms of mechanics? Yeah.
So I just, like, I'm just thinking about it, right? And you mentioned, like, feudal Japan, for example. And in my head, it's like, what was I so excited about for that type of setting back in the past? And to be honest, most, if not everything, would be already delivered in a game like Nioh that we have.
Right.
The only things that, like, I'm running around in feudal Japan. Well, I'm having a great time. The combat's really fun and engaging.
I guess it's parkourish.
It's the part. There's a parkourish element, but that's kind of not enough, right?
No, I know.
So what I'm actually, if I think about it and really break it down, what was so appealing was the Assassin's Creed plot setting being brought to this place and finding out what they would do with it there.
How's it going to involve in this era's squabbles and historical events?
Right? What would the Peace of Eden be? What's Abstergo up to? How do we take...
And it made it, you know, when you went to Italy and you're like, oh, that evil pope, that
is
famous
what they
evil
were
pope.
Doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so how would they take this part of the plot and bring it into that setting is the only interesting thing, really, because just going to cool old Japan is... We already got that now.
Yeah.
You know? So that's unfortunately the world we live in, where it's like Assassin's Creed's not going away anytime soon. It's going to be around forever.
Well, the one thing that I appreciate about this game, even if nothing else, is that they're clearly taking their time on this one.
Yes. Apparently this has been, in that list of rumors, it all sounded pretty
legit. They're very aware.
They've been making this since
they're Syndicate. Very aware that maybe they should rush these out as hard.
Yeah.
That being said, you know what other game also took a long time to come out?
Yeah, what was that?
Assassin's Creed 3.
It's true.
You know, I also am remembering when the first
game... But that came out right after another
one.
Yeah,
but the team that was working on it had been working on it for like
3 years. No, I know. Yeah. But
I don't know if you guys remember, but when the first one dropped and it ended the way it did, like it was incomplete, but they gave you all those things.
Yeah, it was a cool ending.
I don't know if you remember, but I went super hard.
Yeah, you were fucking Charlieing it up on the walls.
Yeah.
I went really hard on settings, places, what those symbols could be. I went into the, you know what I mean? Like,
dude, remember in 2 when you played as a sperm?
Yes, I do. You know, and that's part of it, perhaps as well, is that like the amount that I was so interested faded with each one, and like the past storyline was still compelling, but the thing that drew me in of like the mystery of where this future plot was going, dwindling into nothing. Eventually you're like, all you have left is the fun past adventures,
that I can get bored of climbing a tower, seeing all the side missions, and you know.
Like, I mean, for me, if like the story that's being done in the past is it's hard to do because it's the past, but like you have to actually make like a good movie. Like, you have to make a good movie plot that happens within that world and then characters.
If that's kind of by itself.
If you're not going to touch the future stuff, and they might not, I don't know. I don't remember seeing the details. And, like, I admit it's hard. Like, that's why 4 to me was, like, so good. Because while not the most compelling, like, Edward's, like, whole story and his character or whatever.
I'm a fucking pirate.
Like,
ah.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's fine.
Being a pirate's a rough life.
To make something that's more compelling more than just being a pirate and, like, with actual characters and plots and betrayals and stuff, that's got to be hard.
Like, does it even matter who's an assassin and who's a Templar?
It's been established that they're all descendants, or all the cool ones are descendants of that same like weird proto race.
Yeah,
so
like
whatever.
So whatever you introduce, it's like, oh, these two people are going to be fighting as secret groups that rule the world, but it's almost irrelevant if it's not building to anything, you know, if it's not going anywhere.
Well, don't worry. Since this is Origins, you know what that gives them the chance to do?
What?
Set up a completely new, like, meta-universe
oh boy.
Future thing.
Oh, boy. I that'd be fine, because you can't salvage what's there.
Because you're going to find out something about the origins of the conflict that will flip the script or flip it on its head, and you'll be like, oh, were the Templars the good guys the whole time?
Yeah, they probably were.
Yeah, I mean, didn't they do that like 3 times already?
John DeLancey was Desmond's dad, and that means the assassins are dicks.
Because he can only be a dick. Cute.
He plays a Protoss in StarCraft 2, you know that?
You get it. Oh, cool.
John DeLancey?
He plays a Protoss?
He plays the evil Protoss working for the Zelnaga.
He plays the race I never thought he would fit as?
Yeah, guess what? He's great.
Okay.
Because he's a somber, dickish Q.
I missed out on a lot, and I still remember them basically starting to hint that assassins are kind of not that great either.
There's a bunch of dirtbags out there.
Far Cry 5.
Hey, where's this take place?
The West.
Hope, Montana.
That's cool.
I got a buddy of mine who lives in Montana is very excited about this.
March 31st, 2018. It'll be out before that.
So the question is, when does it take place? Probably in the West, right? Not modern day.
Yeah, no. This was another thing that was kind of mostly leaked on NeoGAF. I saw it was like a list of things that, you know, little bits and details or whatever. And it'd be like, yeah, it's an old Western.
Hey, listen, if Assassin's Creed Origins doesn't float my boat, I have a different tower climbing game I can play that's also solid.
What's an untouched setting? Because the West has been done. Not by Far Cry, but
oh. In Montana? What's an untouched setting in Montana?
No, for like in video games.
Yeah.
To put in a little open
world. Oh, there are no untouched settings in video games. You'd have to create something completely new.
Snowy native tribe?
It's kind of like Far Cry 4.
Yep.
In Nepal, but
it is
snowy.
Yeah, you're in the mountains.
Just change from Indians to Indians.
That's not much different.
You're right. Oh, well. Okay.
Arctic environment? Can't really make a video game out of that. Like a Far Cry style video game, at least.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Antarctica?
The problem with Whiteout alone, like with the horizon and stuff like that, would be bad. Like, there are snow-capped mountains in Far Cry 4.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out more at their E3 press conference.
We will!
I hope it's good. I'm still down for
it. I hope they get rid of junk that
Primal was pretty unique.
You know what I'm going to be looking for, though?
Like caveman times.
Yeah, so they're completely unique.
What you're going to be looking for, I don't know, at least to me anyway, as a person who hasn't gone through them, is like, who's going to be the character?
Yeah, who's going to be the charismatic villain?
Who's that? You
Primal
know,
didn't
which
really
is a bit of
one.
Like, which is kind of a bit
it
of like
did,
what like Avengers 2 had a problem with was like Ultron. It's like, hey, look, guys, it's the character.
Yeah.
You know?
I hope they trash those junk co-op, like, campaigns and just, like, clean up that proper story co-op.
A junk co-op thing. We had a blast playing that co-op.
The co-op campaign.
Huh?
There was a co-op fucking series of missions that were co-op only in fucking Far Cry. I think there were 3 and 4 as well.
I don't know.
Which it was like, it wasn't just, because Far Cry 4's co-op, like, that was just like you and your friend playing through
that
everything.
Was just a single player. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
But like was it just 3? I think it was just 3.
I remember that 4 because I played 4. Because
in 3 they had this thing of like co-op that was like, you go to these, do these missions.
Hey, guess what? The trailer just dropped.
Yeah, hey, look at that. Just now?
Just dropped.
You know what's a pretty unique setting? Fucking Blood Dragon. They should just do another Blood Dragon.
This?
It's about Christian doomsday cults.
Oh, really?
Really? That's different. Then it's not an Old West thing.
Oh, that's cool.
Although I kind of did a lot of that.
I like Christian doomsday cults. A lot of that going around. You got that in Outlast. You got that in...
Okay, so that wasn't was the teaser. That was the teaser for the trailer, which is what we have to suffer through in this day and age.
Okay. Okay.
But that's cool.
That could be something, yeah.
I like the woods.
That could be something. And the time frame is, I mean, that church could be any time, right?
Yeah, actually, I didn't see anything that was...
I saw nothing that was...
I just noticed dead bodies were floating in the river.
That's a t-shirt. It could be modern day.
Could be.
Cool.
There's some people in there.
Yeah, power lines.
There's power lines, so yeah, it's not the Old West.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah, okay. That's cool.
All right. Could have been a Far Cry Westworld.
Sure. Sure.
That'd be fun. All right. So we had that announcement. Yeah, go ahead.
Really quickly, Willie, just because you'll get a kick out of this. Remember we did a little bit called 1-800-I-DON'T-KNOW?
Yep.
Because you were aghast at the commercials you would see.
Yep.
So we're watching Discovery Channel while we're in Cuba, just regular old Discovery Channel, just a straight out commercial for a handgun. Use this handgun. It's really good.
Yeah.
And shows guys doing cool poses, and it says it has this ammo, and it just shoot this gun at whatever you want. And yeah. I was just like,
There's no risk.
We're at this point.
Well, not
in Canada, no. But we're at this point on American.
Amen.
Is this new?
Canada still has like cigarette boxes that are mostly just dead children.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's just dead children. Amen. Spider brains and whatnot. I'm like, how did that happen?
Different strokes for different folks.
And the font of the brand is always the same. And
but listen, why this shocks me is because how many conventions have we done? I've never seen this before, so it must be new.
It's new technology. The gun
in Cuba.
No, but we're watching American TV.
American TV.
We're watching Discovery Channel.
That is new tech. That is new tech. I did not know.
Well, eventually we're going to go down to some convention and they're just going to have the gun stall right next to the signings.
I did not know you could just advertise a gun on TV.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. That was an aside.
Man, I would like to buy a gun.
Maybe it's a really good gun.
Hey, guys, Matt and Wooly, when you go buy a gun here, that some people have to vouch that you're not crazy. Would you vouch to the RCMP that I'm trustworthy enough to own a gun?
Type of license are you trying to apply for?
Whichever one will get me a gun.
A basic handgun.
You can't get a handgun.
Well, what can you
are
get?
You go, are you get a long rifle or a shotgun.
Okay, fine.
You trying to get a concealed carry?
No, that doesn't exist in this country.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well then, fine.
The only people who can conceal carry are RCMP, I think.
So, Willie, would you tell someone
probably
that,
like Black Watch or some shit
would
like
you,
that?
Would you tell no?
Would you tell someone it's okay
that
I'm, to get
that Pat's
a
cool
gun?
Enough to own a gun?
Let's say no
under penalty of law.
Let's say probably not.
You guys are losers. Come on.
No, sorry.
I just want to go shoot stuff.
You get your gun
in my yard. I mean,
I think whatever
you don't own.
Yep.
Whatever problems you're trying to solve need a
saw right through it.
Yeah.
I think your problem solving devices should probably be slightly more complex than a button. Just so that you get the
what
extra
if it's a
moment.
Stick?
I mean, look,
is a stick more complex than a button?
It's not, but the time frame required to get your
how
results,
am I supposed to open my beer easily?
It slows it down. You need a slight impulse barrier, maybe about 10 seconds.
Well, yeah.
All right, I'm gonna throw this one up. You guys can discuss it, and I'm gonna take a pee.
Okay.
Why am I discussing?
Yeah, put on another story.
I haven't played it. At all.
Anyway, life
hey,
is
Matt.
Strange. Too. Yeah.
That's lit, huh?
Yeah, no.
Dab.
You saw that too, huh?
I sure did.
although there was never a single line in Life is Strange.
Yeah,
one
but Chloe
bad,
just seems that kind of girl.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Life is Strange 2 announced to be a thing. I think it's not even confirmed whether it's the same story.
I imagine it would be a completely different one.
It definitely could. With the way that the first one ends, you can go either way. But I'm happy with that. I didn't know that it sold 3 million copies.
Wait, really?
Yep.
Ooh.
It's like one of Square Enix's few, like
wow, slam dunks.
Since, you know, we have to fire everyone at IO Interactive and we'll never get another Freedom Fighters.
Well, that's Oh, shit!
You just thought of
That didn't click with me when we talked about it last week.
I assume they still own the franchise, Freedom Fighters.
Okay, to people that don't know what Matt just was talking about and why I just reacted, Freedom Fighters for the PS2 and the Xbox original, is that on GameCube?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Is fucking fantastic.
It was like the original cover shooter.
One of the best hidden gems, like cult classics of all time. Hey, Wooly.
Yes?
How do you feel about Freedom Fighters?
The game.
I hear good things about it.
Oh, you never played it? Okay. It's...
Because I brought up that, like, I didn't know that Life is Strange had 3 million people bought it.
Yeah, it was a huge success.
Now I have
success.
So,
don't nod. Managing to come back from the brink of being forgotten.
They're still making that weird vampire action game.
Yeah, but anyway. Prior to Life is Strange, they were...
very few people could remember them.
Yeah, and here they are, making more Life is Strange.
Yeah.
I wonder which timeline is canon. Are we getting a Metal Gear world where... it's a little bit of column A and column B at the same time.
Well, we're saying that
infinite ammo.
They were saying that maybe I think either, like the way they're going about it, they're like not committing to anything. But there's like there's a possibility it might not even be the same story. It might be like take place in a different town. It might not even be about the same characters.
That'd be interesting.
I think that would be really interesting.
I think in fact, because
it would avoid the problem of having two timelines.
Yes, I think it would be ideal.
Because you'd have to build a whole other game.
Yeah.
To fucking constitute someone that took one of those choices.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I think it'd be cool to switch settings and characters entirely.
Maybe have a different power. Maybe it's not time rewind. Maybe
the only consistent theme needs to be
Hella.
Hipsters.
Hipsters.
So yeah, as long...
It has to have a certain aesthetic.
As long as you have that borderline hipster path.
As long as you have Wes Anderson coming in to do something.
Yeah, exactly.
Just peek around the corner. What you guys making over here?
Some bright-ass colors, I see. yeah, man. And totally, that's the way to do it. Because, that or the choice A or choice B endings merge into some sort of...
Choice C, I guess.
Oh, are they going to do the fucking thing like Prince of Persia did? Actually, there was a third ending that nobody knew about.
No. It's worse than that. It was like, there's two endings, but one was stupid.
Both
and Matt couldn't get it because of a bug.
I couldn't.
Both Chloe and the entire city were on the back of that snowmobile.
That's not bad.
All right.
I hope that turns out to be a
thing. I hope all the best. And they had a little trailer where they're like talking.
Yeah, just... Like going some like, yay.
France accents.
Square Enix is letting this happen.
Mm-hmm. Other things that are happening include, there's a new trailer. This is a bit, it came up last week, but we didn't really get to talk about it.
Ooh, Absolver's coming out in August.
And, Absolver is slow collapse game. Absolver comes out August 29th. There you go. And, yes, you get to check out their combat deck trailer, which kind of introduces a lot of the stuff I was kind of ranting about, gushing about.
You're ranting gushing? A little bit.
Those are all viable.
No, rants are bad. Gushing is good.
No, but ranting and raving is good.
Yeah.
Okay. And they get you introduced to things I was saying where you have your three clans to choose from, that whether you want to be the clan of Third Strike, Street Fighter 4, or SNK.
Wait, what?
You forgot. So I'll remind you. There are three.
Tell me that's the canon names.
There are three character types to pick from when you started out, and the major archetypes. Well, the first one is parries.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is focus attacks. The third one is dodges. And you straight up build your entire character.
No, but are they called the clan of Third Strikes?
No. They're called Khalid, Forsaken, and the Windfall.
Oh.
And, you get to either absorb a hit and do a and punish. You get to do, a dodge into a counter strike and, just movement based, safety, or you can just parry and, use the defensive window. So, they introduce again, and also the stance system and the things I was talking about. So if you kind of want to see examples of what I was describing with the,
four stances, and each stance is also the direction you end up facing. You do a roundhouse kick, you end up facing backwards. That's another stance. You can continue a different combo from there. It's really, really intricate and interesting, and I think it looks super dope and is worth paying attention to. So, yeah, there's that. We've got another game that I thought looked pretty cute called Tiny Metal.
Tiny Metal. I haven't heard of this.
This trailer goes into the whole thing where you can see the switching of the... Yeah, anyway. It's a bit of that For Honor, like, watch and react to how the guy's standing thing.
Right, for Absolver.
Yeah. Tiny Metal is an Advance Wars-like game that's coming out for the Switch.
It's not Advance Wars.
Tiny Metal.
Wink! Is it one of those? Yeah, because like I saw the screenshot and wow.
Well, first of all, there's no lovable human COs to like command your armies when you watch the footage. Or if there are, they don't show up prominently. But the way the fighting goes down is very Advance Wars. But I love the transitions in and out. Like there's something about them that is really like what I kind of would imagine Advance Wars would be like today.
This looks solid.
It's a little bit like Battalion Wars when it zooms down a bit.
Yeah, it jumps into the tile. It shows you your soldiers, and it does it in a much more seamless way than the original Advance Wars games. Yeah. Obviously, you know. But yeah, if that's your jam, and I'm overdue because I loved Advance Wars 1 and 2, and I kind of haven't played any of the follow-ups, but I wouldn't mind taking a peek at one of these, man. They were super fun games.
This comes out in October. I think it's for the Switch and the PlayStation 4, I think. I think I saw that up above. I'm not sure.
It says that it's coming to Switch and PC. Yeah, and PS4, exactly.
Everything but Xbox.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, Japanese indie game. That's cool. Japanese indie game. Tiny Metal is what it's called.
Tiny Metal.
There was a also Switch announcement. They're porting Gunvolt over. So
you mean the first two games?
It's the Golden Volt pack, exactly. So,
oh, okay.
Azure Striker, Gunvolt, Striker pack. So just the word Striker twice.
I mean, it's a portable game.
Strikerizer, Striker, Gunvolt, Striker pack, Striker.
It's a portable game, so I guess, yeah, why don't we just throw it on the Switch?
Yeah, so it's 1 and 2, 60 frames per second, which cool. is nice, and a bunch of other changes, and including DLC and things like Shovel Knight and all those little extra bits.
Inti Creates, I think they announced the other week that their Blaster Master game, that new one that came on the Switch, like, did super well. Like, it sold 100,000 copies or something. And with that scale of that game, it's very small-scale project. So I bet they're just like, oh, well, just what else do we have sitting around that we can just get some eyeballs on?
Yep.
I never played 2 at all, so.
Is it better?
I know that it's better.
Liam told us that the second character plays very differently from Gunvolt does, so it makes the game a lot better.
And that's...
I trust that, because the footage I saw of his gameplay looked awesome.
That maybe I'm not giving the game a chance, but like, we added a new character who's fun to play, unlike the main character. Sounds like a terrible way to make
I don't think they said that.
That's
I think
what they said.
No, what they said is that we made a different character,
and that's what they said.
It's better than it just being Gunvolt. But there you have it. And at the end of the day, you know, I still think everything else about Gunvolt is cool, but them's the
bikes. I love the fucking name. I think the name's great.
The name, the character, the everything else it's doing. But, you know. Anyway, yeah. That's up, and that's a Switch thing. Going to drop soon. There's a Windjammers PS4 closed beta set from June 8th to 12th.
Did you get an invite to that?
I didn't.
I think I did. Maybe I can send it to you. I don't know.
I mean, you know... It's Windjammers.
But since this is a .mu game, you want to go in and be like, is this going
to
be trash?
You want to get used to the lag.
For the online play is what I mean.
Yeah, I
know you know Windjammers.
No, I just that date looks like one that I might not be in town for.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm not sure. So, the closed beta, though, is available if you want to sign up for it over at flyingpowerdisc.com. So,
flyingpowerdisc.com.
And please, I'm, you know, lend.mu your power. Hopefully they can they can overcome themselves. Because fuck, man, if all these new Windjammers games are coming out, that's a nice thing, but it's gotta still, Windjammers the original has to be the best.
Well,
so,
I mean, aside from online play, I mean, local should be fine unless there's some like crazy issues with like lag. But you played it a bit at PAX East, yeah?
Felt good.
It was fine. So,
felt good.
At the end of the day.
No notable issues in my demo booth experience. That's all I got.
Because when I booted up... .mu didn't. Of course Xavier Woods is right there.
Look at Xavior. Hey.
The Windjammer.
Of course he'd get attached to that shit.
Yeah.
Damn straight.
.mu didn't put out Mark of the Wolves on PS4, right?
You mean that Mark of the Wharves?
Mark of the Wharves. They didn't put that. It was like someone else, like Co-Mystics.
Possibly.
Okay.
Possibly.
Because when I booted up...
Though they did the Switch one, didn't they?
Who did? No, the Switch one is just the arcade.
The SNK system. Yeah, but
the PS4 version is a brand new version that had that has the worst net play I've played in a while. All the matches were garbage. So
you catch shots of Brennan at Backlash.
I did shots of him.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's fun. Not actually being there, but that's fine.
Our little boy's growing up.
Sarda.
He was never little. He was always bigger than you.
He's so younger than us.
Yeah, he's like 20.
Yeah, but he's bigger than you.
Yeah, that's not what I said.
Yeah, but yeah. That's not what he said.
No, he can't be younger
than us. I was being diminutive of age.
Yeah, he's younger than everybody.
I think
he's younger than
Liam. When I took a piss, I looked in the mirror, and I got a shock of white hair on my beard. I thought it was blonde, but no, it's white.
Oh, dude, I've got two streaks coming in.
Oh, you're getting the streaks?
Yeah, I got two, like because I had one for a while, and I was like, cool, I'm going to keep that. I like its look. And
Are they opposed? Are they like...
No, they're both on one side right now. Okay. And I mean...
That works, too.
Yeah, I don't mind getting a little salt and pepper. That's fine. I mean, I'm still the same age.
I'm going to have a tri-colored beard just like my dad.
Just drink this poison.
Where it's going to be salt, pepper, and paprika.
Age me faster. There you go.
Can you Brennan's if you like want to age faster, could you just give me some of your age?
No. Because
I'm already aging at a hyperbolic rate.
Yeah, you could start smoking.
No, I want to slow down the process.
You just said give me your age. That implies...
Oh, I meant youth.
So there's crazy rich CEOs are doing
the blood stuff.
They're doing blood magic now where you can wipe out and get a young, healthy 22-year-old's blood.
Rejuvenated.
To get into flow
get back
into your system.
Fighting shape.
Now listen,
you're getting Elizabeth Bathory science going on.
I'm not good with needles, but I'll gladly take someone's blood to become younger.
You take a younger person's blood?
I would take it.
The man that we're supposed to allow to have guns.
Well, they probably wouldn't let me have guns.
No, probably not now.
Yeah.
That you've claimed that I will bathe in people's blood.
No, you don't blathe. You got to put it in you.
Oh, no, just bathe in
your
skin.
You gotta absorb the blood.
No, you absorb it through your skin.
Yeah.
Real billionaires.
She was onto something, clearly.
The science is checking out if billionaires are doing it.
Yeah.
You know who else was onto something?
What's that?
Bloodvertisers.
Bloodvertisers. This ad's making me younger.
Oh, boy.
Standing by a Turok ad and a huge blood burst goes over your whole body. You're like, skin feels so rejuvenated.
Oh, God. This makes me forget my dead baby.
Now, everyone, give me your best neutral face. Give me your all best. Right. All right.
give me a second.
You just told the truth in L.A. Noire. All right.
Okay.
No expression. All right.
Are we supposed to be looking at something?
Well, hold on, because the next news story is Splatoon 2's single player mode has been unveiled.
Okay.
And so they've been sort of hinting at where the story's going, and in a pretty shocking twist.
Right.
Callie, of the Squid Sisters fame, has gone missing, and her right tentacle squid, Mary, has the task of finding her. So the story mode is going to be about finding Mary, and I assume that this happened because of the results of Splatfest.
Yes.
Yep. So it's possible that the unpopular sister has become the villain, and regardless of where your allegiances lie...
Yes.
We might be seeing a sister versus sister plot.
setup here in Splatoon 2.
We might see that.
So why'd you ask me to do a neutral face?
Yeah, well, because know what we're talking about.
I don't know where...
you should have told that to Matt.
Yeah, well, he did, but...
I mean, yeah, no, but... Oh, I mean, it's like,
because every time...
Because I'm neutral about this.
Oh, okay.
Because, I don't even know which sister's which.
Okay, because every time we've discussed
fuck
it...
Fuck do
it,
I care about these octopus.
Okay, well,
idiots.
Anyway, so... I don't know where you lie. I don't know which stand.
On what?
You all agreed. Where you, Liam, and Matt all agreed on the same what? Octopus
on,
bit.
On the on where you where your stance is on how which sister is.
What do you mean which sister?
There's only one sister.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no conflict.
There's no conflict.
Yeah.
There is only one place to go.
I don't even know why you're still looking at me.
I'm all right. I guess this conversation's over.
Awesome.
Then, It was settled. And,
you have been such a weird jackass about these fucking squid girls every time they've come up. What the fuck is going on? What is this fucking nefarious shadow waifu fuck fish war?
Because when it came out, it was the ultimate who the fuck saw this coming. No one did. Of which of these two characters do you like the most? Because they've always been presented together.
Yeah, sure.
And so it's just the fact that like they had the vote. And then it was like, oh shit, there was a bit of a war where some people were on one side or the other. And I was like, let's make the best friend cast Switzerland.
Oh, look, the Nintendo fans get to have a waifu war too, but with fish people.
Basically.
Yeah.
That's all. And in the end...
You're not cagey about this with the other waifus.
In the end, as Matt correctly stated, the conflict is over. The dust
has
settled.
There never really was a conflict.
And we move on.
Yeah, we can.
All right.
All right. I'm glad the single jokes aside, I'm glad the single player is of more story significance rather than the first games, which is just do missions, basically.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I assume, like, a big part of, like, with this being a sequel would be, like, actually doing a bigger campaign and a bigger story.
Yeah, because if the game's mechanics are largely the same, just new weapons and maps and stuff, it's like, then, you know, do some new stuff in a story mode or single player mode, whatever.
And we can take a quick moment to discuss the other Nintendo news.
Mm-hmm.
Although this is more rumors, really.
Rumors.
There might be a Zelda rumors. Smartphone game in development by okay. Dina.
Sure.
That'd be cool.
It seems likely.
The art used for this story is a massive lie. Like,
well, it's art from the Link.
Ocarina. Time, yeah, I know, but they're implying it like, oh, look, it'd be a Zelda game.
Well,
like,
no,
it could be
I think this article is just.
Yeah, well, fuck the artwork there. I mean, in general, the main thing is that according to the Wall Street Journal. People familiar with the matter, quote unquote, is the source.
That's great.
Saying that they're working on a smartphone Zelda. And of course, the Animal Crossing is their next mobile game.
Obviously, this is going to be a sequel to the one of Gamelon.
No, obviously, it's going to be a sequel to Link's crossbow training.
You're right.
I could go for another Tetris Trackers, which we never got. Came out in Japan.
Didn't that like get bundled into something? Oh, whatever.
Or Tingle's...
Tingle's Rupee...
I forgot what it's called.
Rosie... I don't know. Aww. Rampage.
Anyway.
Tingle's Rupees. Sure, I guess. Like, I haven't played any of those Nintendo mobile games. Like, I never booted up Fire Emblem.
Booted up Fire Emblem, then went, and then closed it.
I played a fuck ton of Mario Run. I beat it.
Once it comes out on Android, has it on Android yet?
I think so.
It's gotta be. Come on, it's gotta
be. Well, because when it was hot, it was not.
Yeah, no.
And now that it's not hot, it might be hot.
So, and then finally we can start talking. We can talk about these last two stories. One thing we haven't done in a while is talk about a Kickstarter. And so there's a new Kickstarter for Project Rap Rabbit.
Yeah, I just came out of just everyone was talking about it one day.
Well,
because
here's what happened is I almost feel a little hoodwinked with the story because the first thing that happened was the announcement that
Parappa, it's from the creators of Parappa.
Yeah, the Parappa the Rapper creators.
Guitaru Man.
And Guitaru Man, exactly. Masaya Matsuda. He actually... oh, no, wait, hold on. Excuse me. The Parappa creator and the Guitaru Man creator both together are working on this. Exactly. Right. Not to attribute both games to one person.
Yeah, Parappa's is Masaya Matsuura and Guitaru Man's is Keiichi Yano.
So they announced this trailer, and then it popped up on Sony's PlayStation, like, a blog. And they just announced the game. There was no Kickstarter.
There's no Kickstarter.
It was just the game, right? And then there was like more information coming soon. And then afterwards came the Kickstarter, and it was like, okay, so they're actually, this is a crowdfunding campaign.
Very similar to Shenmue.
Yeah, and yeah.
I wonder how that's doing.
So they're seeking for, you can check the updates.
I imagine we'll find out more at E3.
I hope so. So they're checking, they're looking for 1.1 mil to fund the PS4 and PC release.
That seems reasonable.
They also recently added a Switch stretch goal, I believe. But the basic premise is as I can tell from their little trailer, there's no gameplay footage. It's mainly just artwork and them talking about it. They're going for a rap battle style gameplay take on Parappa the Rappa. Mm-hmm. So you're going through the Parappa style stages and gameplay, but you're fighting against a person in the same way that you'd watch an episode of Epic Rap Battles of History.
Okay.
Is the reference that they were going for there.
Really? They actually said Epic Rap Battles?
So... The characters look cool. I like the designs. Misaki, I like the world they're setting.
Is Super Hot Fire going to be a DLC character in this game?
I mean, if they know what's good for them.
Imagine he is.
If they know what's good for them.
You have to imagine.
How could you imagine, though?
And yeah, right now they're at 115 pounds of the 855 pounds.
It's a little...
or 1,000 pounds, excuse me. So whatever, convert that to your American.
That's heavy.
Okay,
hold on. Boo. I booed myself.
Okay. So this is a project I'd like to play.
Sorry,
and see.
You said before that you were like, this story made you feel like you were hoodwinked or something?
No, I just thought, because I thought it was just a game coming out.
Oh, you just the Kickstarter.
Because
aspect.
They just announced the game. Okay. And then afterwards they said, right. By the way, it's a crowdfunding thing.
Right.
So I was just like, oh, okay. I guess I just didn't get that impression at all from the original trailer that they put out.
Okay.
So yeah, if this is your thing and you like the sounds of it.
I'll check that out. It seems cool.
Take a peek and see what they got. They got
what you got?
Their whole thing set up here. So yeah, take a look at their Kickstarter. It's called Project Rap Rabbit. And
It's very to the point name. It's
not much
to,
else.
Hard to what is it about?
Yeah. You know? Not much else to say about that.
Yeah.
Now, this is funny because this came out around the same time as an article that I read that I thought was interesting, or at least cited some interesting stats. We've off camera discussed a bit about how personally I've kind of felt like a lot of I've been a bit down on Kickstarter because I'm just kind of like waiting for the things that I got excited for and backed to come out.
I got the Dark Souls 3 board game in the mail, by the way.
Cool.
I haven't played it yet because I don't have enough people. I'm setting up some friends. But,
cool.
I'm excited to let you guys know how that goes.
Dope.
Although I had an initial moment of I got the thing in the mail. It's like, all right, I ordered like 150 pounds worth of fucking extra shit with this. And it's like, oh no, all the expansion packs are coming out. Like,
coming afterwards.
In 5 months or so.
Nice.
The plastics literally needs to get made.
Okay. I know mentally I just kind of had a moment where I was like, I'm waiting for a lot of what I backed to come out in order to like sort of
mentally justify kicking it in,
jumping into a bunch of other ones. Exactly. And, there was an article that was written up that basically, mentioned, how Kickstarter blew up and, you know, ever since, of course, like, Tim Schafer, it's been on the increase, but this year it's dropped back to a huge lull.
It's because a lot of those really, like, I would call them dream pitches, came out one after the other. Like, you had Double Fine Adventure, you had Pillars of Eternity, you had, those are the two ones that pop into my head all the time. You had Ukulele, you had, you know, and these all came, there was like a year and a half, 2 year period where it's just like every single month there was like, hey, you know those people who don't make those games anymore?
The things you love?
They're going to make one for you.
Yeah.
Everybody who would have backed something backed one thing.
Yeah.
But games take fucking forever to come out.
They take a while. So you've got to then be patient and wait, right?
And people that are like, well, I backed that thing and it's just a year and a half, 2 years. I still didn't.
Because you have to basically get into the, you have to get into a place that we've never gotten before, which is like, I'm supporting this. I put my money down for it. And so it feels more real because my money went into it. Mm-hmm. And now forget about it.
Yeah.
As it gets made from scratch.
And, you know, a lot of people are just like, well, I, you know, they a year in, they feel like it's a loss. because they still don't have it.
But here's the part that also is not that you didn't mention is the bad Kickstarters.
Well, yeah, obviously those ones.
Right, and then so you end up
the sun.
Yeah.
So yeah, the sun forced me to not make this.
So these things all kind of blend together into this weird mood, right? And I don't know. At first I felt it was just me, but then I guess when I started reading the numbers on this, I was like, wow, it's not just me. I don't know how you feel, Matt, about like Kickstarter things. If you're still just grabbing whatever's interesting or not, or if you kind of feel like you are a bit burnt out.
I'm still grabbing things, but like I just find even small scale stuff I just don't see. Like I don't see like the Rat Bunny thing is just kind of like, oh, okay, cool. Like I haven't really. Yeah, I think I heard about this. Like less is coming across my dashboard.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Oh,
like,
for
I'm
sure.
I'm not
for sure.
I'm sure it's there. It's just like
on a basic level. When I log into Twitter, I don't have as often people go, "Pay! Oh my god, that fucking thing! You like, look at this!
It's coming back.
It's considerably rarer nowadays. I think the last one was Pillars 2, and was a few months ago.
And so what I was surprised to find out was that in 2016 they hit a 5-year low.
And this is for how many projects have been greenlit, or for how much money they've made?
They've made
that has gone toward the video games.
Exactly.
I see way more than video games is just cool products.
Yeah.
Like this crazy air conditioner, this fucking weird thing, like this weird dildo. Like they're always, I don't know why I have that in across my dashboard, but like I see more about, look at this awesome backpack. It's the best backpack you'll ever have because those fat cats at the backpack concern finally let us make one.
Also,
you know?
Don't forget that like they bomb Kickstarter, not Kickstarter, they bomb Facebook with huge ads for that fucking backpack. Yeah. So that every time
check
you look
out
at your timeline,
check out this fucking litter box. It's
this,
the dopest.
This Kickstarter will change
your world.
Do you
want an update on those litter boxes?
Yes,
I bought?
Do.
I threw them all out.
Yeah, I know.
Nice.
I heard that you were drunk and you were fighting your litter box at some point. Didn't you do a stream with the litter box?
That was like a year ago.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But yeah, no, I opened up the thing. But since then, the cats are like, fuck this. I hate this thing. This shit's the worst. And I was like, all right.
Man,
I'll just give you a big giant
What a
one.
Great experience in your life.
Right?
From beginning to end.
Just thinking
that totally would have...
Was justified.
Yep, it made everything about your life better.
Better, yeah.
I use an electronic litter box called the Scoop Free for Elmo, and it works great.
Okay, well,
you should check it out.
No.
It scoops it for you.
I got to get in there.
You like the feel.
You like it?
Well, no, but...
He likes
I just,
the texture.
It's my chore that I do.
Well, you could have a robot do your chore for you.
I'll do it. It's fine.
So anyway, we're...
But a robot.
Sure.
All right, so we can discuss the pluses and minuses of cat poop.
Well, no, it's a universal minus. I don't think anybody is going to say cat poop.
Of the handling of cat poop. But anyway, so the point they hit their lowest margin in 5 years. And while it was on the up and up and up and up ever since Double Fine Adventure, they dropped to 18 million from the 43 million that hit the year before.
Yeah, there was definite boom.
And there's a decline. And so the reason why you're not seeing them pop up on your social media as much anymore is because there is actually less of them. And there is, again, a sentiment out there that I independently kind of commented on, and then turns out that no, there are quite a few people.
Oh,
are
you're
kind
definitely
of
not the only one.
Waiting
not.
For what they've backed to happen. And I've backed a bunch that I've like forgotten about, you know, and kind of I'm like, I hope this will just surprise me one day. You know, things like Star Mazer, I threw money at, and I'm just like, I hope I just get something somewhere, you know, and it's cool because
there's a couple like at the end of this month, like Friday the 13th, which I Kickstarter comes out, Perception, which I Kickstarter comes out. So
yeah,
those things are coming out. In terms of long like stuff, like there's Shenmue and then there's Bloodstained.
Yeah.
And those are the two that I'm waiting.
And
for.
I mean, to be honest, like I don't keep my eye on all of them, right? Like I still do follow Drift Stage and I'm getting
yeah,
some of things on that. Exactly.
Drift Stage,
so. And you know, there's others that you care about more and Indivisible I follow what's going on there.
Indivisible,
a little bit.
I completely like I don't know what you guys are doing.
I had this weird moment where people announced there was something, it's like, hey, Slacker backers, come back Battle Chasers, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool. You know what? I never backed that one. I should actually go back it because it looks so cool. And then I went to log into Kickstarter, and it's like, thank you for your pledge to Battle Chasers that you made when the Kickstarter was still going.
I'm at that point, exactly.
And that was the one that I'm like, no, I actually, unless it's something that I'm like desperate for, like I backed Pillars of Eternity 2 quite heavily, unless it's something like that, like there's fucking, I gotta back off.
So I guess it's just kind of like, I feel like there's a bit of a hype bubble that did silently pop.
Thanks, Mighty Number 9.
And I, you know, it's a number of things happened.
Nine of them, even.
But
you set me up for that. You softballed it.
At the end of the day, it was an underhand. At the end of the day, when something exciting drops and the right place for it is Kickstarter, I think we're all still going to come right back. You know, I went heavy on Kingdom Death.
You know what? You know what's not the right place, the right thing for Kickstarter? Fucking Namco saying, "Hey, you want to have a fucking celebratory Pac-Man anniversary thing? Go pay money for Kickstarter to fund the company celebration."
What?
What the fuck is that?
They said Namco Bandai a little while ago on their fucking Facebook page or whatever their fucking social media account was like, "Congratulations to X amount of years for fucking whatever. Do you guys want to go to a big party? Fund the Kickstarter."
Jeez.
Like,
I think you just had the party.
Fuck off.
Wow. There's weird things like obviously Ukulele was a huge success, and then there's like things like Banner Saga that just like we've got
Banner Saga's good,
but Banner Saga's like, yo, we have an audience, they want more,
we're serving that audience,
we serve, and that's all we need. We don't need the widespread hype. We just need this crew of people that were there from the first game, and they're supporting the second, and then
the Banner crew
and third the Banner Saga 3 just succeeded, and they're like, yep. We know our numbers now. We know exactly who we're appealing to.
Hey, guess what? Oregon Trail with Vikings.
So
it's a good formula.
I think that's a solid way to go. And I think that like once you are a success, it's cool to like have just the people that want more of what you've already given them to keep you around, and like you're almost like subscribers in a way. Yeah. But so when I kind of looked and I saw the Project RapRabbit thing, I was like, I'm excited for this. I'll throw some money at it. But in general, I'm way less willing these days to go on something that I'm iffy about, especially if
I don't know. I kind of feel like, weren't you always? If you're iffy about it, why?
But because I guess
you know what I mean. Like
because it was like when we looked at, for example, that beat 'em up, which I forget what it was called.
That Japanese one.
Yeah, right. Something where I'm like, I'm not iffy on that. I think that looks really cool, but
everyone else in the world was iffy about it, and like it was gonna. All right, when you see a project and you just like you look at the goals of how much money, and if it's not gonna make it, you don't.
Generally speaking, yes.
Don't even put money.
Kind of self-fulfilling, honestly.
I guess like what I'm trying to say is that my threshold, I've moved the slider back a bit for like how much it's going to take for me to how much it's going to take for me to back it. You know, like I was more willing to go out on a limb for things, I guess, when the spirit of this was hype, and you know what I mean? Like we're in the middle of a lot of really exciting things coming out and announced and being announced.
Dreams are coming true, man.
But I need to just personally wait to get them in my hands more so that when I feel like, okay, at least four or five of these 20 things, you know, I'm now playing and I have them and I've enjoyed them. Like then I can feel like, okay, I can sort of willingly go in again and whatnot. But right. Mentally,
and
I'm just investing all over the place.
And then there's the ones that aren't even like, they're not bad games. They didn't come out as failures. But I mean, Liam and I both got burned with Unsung Story and Project Phoenix. That's money in a pit. Those games are not going to happen.
And
the devs keep saying they're going to happen.
But
they're not going to happen.
Well, I mean, like, there's the actual not going to happen, like Project Furry. I forgot what it's called.
Project Furry.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then
Yif Masters.
Sure.
Yep. WNBC Yif Masters.
and then
featuring
there's
Maximilian.
And then there's not not canceled, but like perpetually in development.
Oh, remember that one that failed that we were all really like the We Shall Wake or We Shall Die. It was like that 2D one where
We Shall Wake
I'm just mixing up the titles. Remember, it was a 2D one by the God of War former members, and it was like a crazy vertical horizontal shooter that had melee. There was a demo for it even, and just no one wanted any of it.
Oh, the one-on-one fight?
Yeah, it had a big boss, like you fight enemies, and then at the end of the stage it always winds up with a big one-on-one fight.
I think it was like a one shelf fall
or something like that.
Yeah.
And that was a shame, because we were like, well, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of other stuff going on with that, but...
And just to remind you, Willie, I have to go in like 5 minutes.
Yes!
Did we talk today about that Witcher thing?
No.
Last week, I must imagine you did.
No, we didn't.
The new news is that Witcher TV is happening on Netflix.
Has nothing to do with the games at all. So 0%.
That's a whole other deal.
So that is the excellent, like, little dovetail of Willie going, what a fool! And it's like, well...
He's going to make some money.
He's going to try and... Come on, Mads Mikkelsen. Come on, Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah. He basically was a Witcher.
Or Viggo Mortensen. Viggo Mortensen.
Well, what is that? There's a photo going around of, was it?
Some guy.
Is that?
Mads, who's very similar looking to Geralt.
Yeah, okay. You know, like, am I looking at Julian Assange? Or anyway.
Oh, no, that's Assange. That's punished Assange.
With the long ponytail. Yeah. Exactly, or whatever. But yeah,
he's been having a rough time, but.
Pamela Anderson's been visiting him in the fucking embassy.
Oh, that's a real rough time.
Anyway, so yeah, Netflix Witcher is happening, and there, get your money from that.
Yep.
Also, like, he went on to say, like, it's going to be nothing like the games or whatever, like with the anger or something like that.
For all you fans.
I bet he is going to be so vindictive, he is going to, like... make the show in such a way that he invalidates the game.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if scene one was him, like, fucking, like...
Killing characters.
That look like Geralt.
Killing characters.
Yeah. Like pulling a DMC where he pulls the wig off.
Yeah.
Like the mop, you know? I feel like they're going to go for that bitter fuck you.
Also, I don't know how familiar you guys are with the Witcher series, but this is clearly going to be Netflix's Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
The violence and pornography levels will be high.
They're going to drop money on it, but they've got the money to drop.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cool. Think it's going to be good?
Yeah.
Who knows?
You know what my favorite part about that story was?
What?
All the stories that I saw reporting it were, like, based on the hit video game franchise, The Witcher.
And that's
And I was like,
Yeah. I'm sure he's loving that. Yeah. All right, let's take some emails.
No, that's the wrong one. Emails. If you want to send an email, send it to superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. The superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
All right. Maybe you can answer one very quickly, Matt.
Before you have to run out the door.
Yep. Yeah. Let's take one from Vowels. Vowels says. Dear Dream of the 1998 is alive in Montreal cast. Long-time listener, first-time sender. What's your favorite self-imposed video game challenge? My personal favorite is the infamous Nuzlocke and antisocial run in Persona.
The antisocial run in Persona is hilarious.
That's really funny. And stealth and melee only in Watch Dogs. That's really funny.
Usually I always add games that don't require stealth but have some type of element. I'll try. That's the one I usually kind of go
to. All right, I'm going to steal Wooly's answer before we can get to it. The best specialty run of any game is the Mirror's Edge without guns run.
Huh? That's not my answer.
Oh, wow. What was your answer then?
My answer is the one that you don't think about as a self-imposed difficulty. It's the very simple strive for S ranking, no items in platinum games.
Yeah, you're right.
It's so expected.
Don't use the items.
That you don't even think about it.
Don't even use the items.
No items, character action.
Yeah, you're right.
We do it every time.
Some games have that as a thing.
Yeah, it subtracts from your bonus, but you still pass the level. Like, there's no problem. But yeah, that's what I'd say. We got one coming in from Justin. He says,
"Hey, Justin, what up?"
Justin Case here. No questions. Just wanted to tell you some kick-ass history. Turns out Guts may have been based at least in part on a real German knight named Götz von.
I've heard this before. He fucking had a metal arm too.
Known as Guts the Iron Hand. Other than the name similarities, including wielding a large sword, fighting mercenaries of unreasonable odds against him, and most importantly, having an iron prosthetic hand. He was alive around 1504 and went on to fight in many other wars and campaigns.
What's really interesting about this guy is that he spent over 3 years in a boat.
How about that?
It's amazing.
And so now Band of the Hawks is going to say, it's pronounced Gatsu.
Yeah. Gats. Gats. Nickelodeon Gats.
Get Gats with your silly putty.
Do you have it?
But before I got to dash out the door, fucking really excited for, Friday the 13th, Perception, and Ultra Street Fighter 2 all come out on the same day, this Friday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going to maybe be streaming Friday the 13th on Sunday at some type. I haven't decided what, but really looking forward to that because when I played the beta of that on PC, like I was like, oh, this is... Mm-hmm.
Wait, that's coming out so soon?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Well, I guess not so soon. I heard about it ages ago.
It's been
in
certification for consoles forever. And it's not out officially yet on PC either. It just had a beta for it.
So. Okay, I'm going to throw you a question so that while you're putting your jacket on, you can think about it.
Okay.
Think about that question. Matthew says, Super Best Friends, a superhero is trying to kill you and will do whatever they can to track you down and take you out.
That's worth it.
Which hero would you want chasing you and how will you delay your inevitable death?
Squirrel Girl?
Oh, she'll wreck you instantly. Are you out of your mind? You're fucking dead as you stand.
Yeah, you're right. She's unbeatable.
It's the worst choice.
Who do I want coming after me?
I'm trying to think of an idiot who will, like, not
my choice,
do it.
Yeah, I'm going to say Maggot from the X-Men.
Yeah.
Because his slow-ass maggots are going to come for me, and they're indestructible, and they'll get there, but it'll take them a while, I can keep running, so it'll be like It Follows.
I know who. I know. Who? I want it to be Leech. Because Leech is just a dumb idiot whose mutant power is that he erases other people's mutant powers, but I'm not a mutant. So fucking come at me, bro. I'll hit you with a stick.
I guess Fing Fang Foom.
Why? Because he's stupid?
Because it would be radical.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because it would take him however many years for him to appear.
Yeah, no, but just like if I am going to get killed, otherwise I would kill the coolest metal weight I'd ever want to.
I want to have somebody to have the guts here to go like Plastic Man.
Because then it's some guy with a really fucked up power and you don't want to know.
He's really
how he can
creepy.
Kill you.
He's going to climb in your ass and explode you from the inside.
I wouldn't
want
to get killed by Mr. Fantastic because he can't kill me with like guns or like whatever. But you have to use...
She can just go into you and then, like, fucking...
But doesn't that kill her, too? If she unfreezes in an organic manner?
Yeah, no, Nightcrawler can bamf into you, though.
Yeah.
Wait, that's been confirmed? He can bamf inside of people?
I don't know. Never heard that.
Or was that? Wasn't that something?
No. He can bamf... He can selectively bamf people away or not. I know that.
Yeah, because they still exist in the alternate dimension that he jumps into. But, anyway. Yeah, I'm going to stand by a maggot.
All right, bye-bye.
Later.
Bye, man. Have fun with whatever you're doing.
Going to a funeral now.
Oh.
No, I'm not.
Well, have fun then.
I will.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Yeah.
And then there were two.
Yeah. I think that's pretty decent.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take another one. We got this one coming in from... What name does he want me to read?
I hate that fucking problem.
Yeah. Because there's the email name and then there's the one they sign it with.
Yeah,
so.
The email name. So it's my full real name.
Con Cuckle Flixen says, Dear Super Scrub Friends Plus One, during high school, most of my friends did art while I did technical graphics.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I would ditch TG and go to art. One of those days I chose to go to art, they were doing coal drawing and painting. Towards the end of the class, I got bored and noticed that coal stains my skin. I grabbed a piece of coal and drew a shitty beard on my face. Because we were stupid kids, we thought this was hilarious, and the group of us colored our faces entirely black with coal. No thought of what this was or what it meant. After getting home, I showed pictures to my parents, and all they said was, "You guys look like a shitty minstrel show."
That's a great reaction from the parents. Just dad looking at me go...
Now, parents... Aren't all minstrel shows shitty?
Well, they mean that it's like one that doesn't have a lot of production behind it.
Except for that one in Bamboozle. That one was hilarious.
Yeah. Well, that's like double blackface, right?
That was yeah. That was super
black
funny.
People with black faces.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's meta. That's different.
Way, way inside.
I hope you destroyed those photos.
Yeah. That's
that's like
not much else you can say. And when you're playing around, you're not going to get it on your lips accidentally. But let's say you manage to avoid them and someone else grabs some lipstick and goes like, oh, ha, 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 ha. And yeah.
It just happened to be a hot summer day. And you know, it's around on a hot summer day, refreshing fruits.
Right, of course. And so you run outside to go wash, cool yourself down. Yeah. And then like on your way out, like some like a truck is driving by and it accidentally drops salt all over the pavement because it's cold and so the winter, so they're melting the ice.
Yeah, of course.
So then you start walking
so it's a summer day in the winter?
And you start sliding on the salt and you start doing a little soft shoe.
Yeah.
And oh no, what happened?
I'm gonna paint that as honest mistake that becomes nefarious if anything came of it after your parents told you were being jackasses.
Oh boy.
Right? Would you agree with that?
I mean, perhaps, yeah. Perhaps, you know, and then anyway, yeah. You just so happen to have the bought KFC for lunch or whatever.
Yeah, it just happened to
them. Then, yep. You just keep
well, there's
going.
That moment where you're eating, like, I'm eating, like, chicken with purple stuff and, like, a watermelon at the side, right? And, okay, imagine this scenario. I just happen to actually want that for lunch.
Right.
And then you were to come in for the podcast, and I know you because you, and you know me, and you look at me and go, what the fuck is, what's the punchline? And you'd be looking around for like fucking bullshit, right?
Yeah.
But if I was an ignorant, innocent soul, it would be slightly different.
So that's
you get
funny.
You get to be innocent once.
You get
legitimately.
You get a pass.
Right?
You get a pass.
And then your ignorance is banished. And then let's see.
See, now, did they say that you look like a shitty minstrel show? Roll
their
eyes.
Let me give you some tips.
And then go like, here's a few pointers.
Yeah, yeah, like the lips real funny.
Or you know, what was the follow-up sentence, Concuckle? That's what we need to know.
The instant Matt leaves the fucking room.
Absolutely.
We start talking about blackface.
Hell yeah.
The instant. It's like he's like putting out like a fucking moderating field.
I mean, look. When the cat's away, the mice will play or something like that.
That doesn't make sense.
I don't know. I got stuck. Brandon wants to know if you would prefer to be spoiled finding out about a new game from a leak or from an official announcement. What's your preference?
Leak.
You like leaks better?
I like leaks better
Why do you like leaks better?
Because if I get spoiled by the official announcement, it's official. There's no mental gymnastics I can give myself to trick myself into not believing it. Right? So if you watch an official trailer that shows a character death or something, you can't mentally undo that because it's official, right? But if you see a fucking screenshot on fucking whatever, then it's like big leaks, so and so dies. I can internally fight that for a little.
Okay. That's interesting because I actually
you feel the opposite?
No. I don't know why I said the word spoiler. But I threw it out there and it completely changed the context of the question.
Okay.
Because he was just asking about discovering new games.
Oh.
And I just, in my summarization, just threw that in there.
I don't care. And I don't give a shit.
Okay.
I just want to know it exists.
Okay.
There's only one example, and it was an official source that I wish had been changed to a different official source. And it was the Street Fighter Cross Tekken announcement.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yoshi,
yes.
I Yoshinori Ono, I totally get that you want to tell everybody, but that CG trailer reveal at E3 would have been one of the best moments ever.
Yes.
And because you couldn't
fucking hold it in.
You had to show the game in this weird, shitty, unfinished state.
And it totally dampened.
So, because you watched the trailer, and I've said this before on the podcast.
Yeah, that's
like
no, that is the strongest one.
Where it's Ryu's face being stomped on, and you're like, oh, cool, Capcom game. And then it's the Capcom logo, and it's that. And then it goes the Namco logo, and then pans up, and it's Kazuya. And that was clearly supposed to be a surprise. Right? That was clearly supposed to be like, oh, shit!
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
Because he had already talked, we already seen it. Like, that moment was robbed of us.
That was a really, really shitty moment where Paul Marketing actually had a really good plan.
He was completely right. Paul Marketing was 100% right.
And Ono fucked it up.
And Ono was completely wrong.
Because he couldn't contain himself. Yeah. That's probably the worst example. Or at least the strongest example.
I was so disappointed when I saw that it was supposed to be like a big
reveal. It was still a really cool trailer.
Oh, but absolutely. It's a great
that
trailer.
Pop was not a fraction of what it should have been. Because we saw...
So, like, when I watch... I go back and watch old trailers occasionally. I like to pretend that this is the first time I see it.
Yeah, I like... No, I look them up and I try to see if they have a YouTube version with the crowd reaction.
Yeah.
I love that. I love looking up Nintendo reveals with crowd reaction. Mm-hmm. Always fun. And let's take one from Roman, who says...
Why won't they cheer me?
Dear Super Chunks, do you think the biggest reason Yakuza is not successful in the West is because of the lack of English voice acting?
No, because Yakuza 1 had a crazy expensive dub and failed spectacularly.
Are people too lazy to read all those subtitles?
No, it's because it's niche and it's very Japanese. It's because the things that appeal to you or I or the people who are watching the LP about that series often don't appeal to Joe Bro. Let me point something out.
You'd expect a huge RPG with dynamic lighting fighting systems to be bigger. In other words, if it had English voice acting and real advertising, it would do gangbusters in the West.
No. So let me explain something about the perception of Persona and Yakuza. Right, Persona's gotten away from it. Persona managed to beat this rap, but the Persona series and the Yakuza series share one thing in common. They're about the fantasy of living in another place, right?
Yep.
I'm the gangster. I'm a school kid. I'm in Japan. I'm in...
Well, it's not living in another place. It's about being in Japan, well, living as another
right.
person.
But to us, it's being in another place. Being in another... Like, the culture, the variety, it's not like here. Right?
As Dirty Gaijin.
Right.
Yes.
In Japan, that tone is inverted. It's not about something new. It's about something hyper-familiar.
Yes.
It's about...
I've been there before.
I see that guy. I know that place.
Yeah.
I'm pretending that I'm that guy over there that I know in my life. And I'm gonna live out a fantasy that I can't normally live. And
it's true crime streets of LA.
The equivalent of that is Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
And I don't mean in terms of gameplay, because that's nonsense.
No, just familiarity to the settings.
Well, no. We live in places like LA or New York or whatever. And we can empathize or understand the facsimile of American life that GTA provides, right?
Yeah.
So GTA does pretty okay out in Japan, but it doesn't do – it's not consistent gangbuster because of its setting. Because
the familiarity appeal
right.
is not the
because
same.
It's like people who want the
That's
foreign.
A really interesting point.
Right? Whereas here, the Yakuza's crazy hardcore about it, more than Persona. It appeals to people who really want to go to Japan, really want to find out all this weird shit. Like, know what host clubs are.
Yeah.
You know?
The seedy underbelly.
And to a lot of people who are just like, I don't care. They're just like, what is this fucking weirdo shit?
But the familiarity angle is mirrored.
It's totally inverted on those situations. So no, unless when you're selling Yakuza, you're selling Japan to people. Do people care about learning or seeing cool crazy stuff?
But then,
and it's also very Japanese humor.
But
and
then
fighting
something like
and,
Shenmue can come along and be a huge deal back when
Shenmue was a huge deal, but not because it had anything to do with Japan. Shenmue was a huge deal.
It was just a triple A
because it was a triple A weirdo game that did all sorts of crazy shit.
Yeah.
And Wooly, I'm not sure if you've played any Yakuza, and I know there's a lot of people out there that are going to fight me
only
over this.
QA.
But Yakuza is the like spiritual successor to Shenmue.
Yeah, very much. I'm aware of that.
You're playing a criminal instead of a good guy, but I mean,
walking around town doing all that,
doing
shit.
All the side quests.
Yeah.
I mean, you play fucking Outrun in Yakuza Zero. Mm. Couldn't you play fucking Outrun in Shenmue?
In Shenmue, yeah. No, it wasn't Outrun. It was
you know what's gonna be anyway, you know what's gonna
a
be
bunch of
Yakuza 6 when you go to the arcade? Virtual Fighter 5 Final Showdown.
Probably.
No, it is.
Confirmed?
With online play.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Wow. That's really cool. Nice.
Like,
yeah. I guess I never really thought about it that way, but in that sense, it's interesting because like the point remains that like Persona is huge here, and GTA...
It's huge here now.
Yeah.
Three and four were still niche. They were popular niche, but they were still niche.
What? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
Absolutely.
I feel like four was...
Sub 1 million.
Fucking... Whoa.
For sure. Worldwide, probably over, but in the West, absolutely sub 1 million.
Felt like everything and everyone everywhere.
Because it became... the persona became bigger.
It hit the mainstream.
Yeah. And that's why Five's been pretty successful. I think it was the second most popular game in the month that it released. But it wasn't the number one.
So what's the, like, Yakuza style, like, it's not Persona equivalent to in Japan to GTA?
Could you rephrase that? That was a little confusing.
Sorry. Okay. So there's Yakuza has the same appeal as Persona, but it's less popular.
Mm-hmm. No, Yakuza is way more popular than Persona.
In America?
No, in Japan.
I'm talking about
in
America.
Oh, yeah. In
so in Japan,
yeah.
GTA is pretty big, but like it's not the hugest thing ever. It's just for people that are into
that.
I
think Call of Duty is actually bigger than
actually, GTA. Yeah. And like military fans like are going to get heavy on that. Yeah. Is there a...
And there's a direct correlation of like Western otaku versus Eastern military otaku.
Is there a Western life simulator that is...
No, there isn't.
In Japan?
Absolutely not.
That's kind of... That's not GTA. That's sort of like...
No, there is not.
Hmm.
And guess what? I would love to play that game. I think that would be fucking cool. I want the Persona exchange student, and I want the fucking Kiryu Ghost in New York and shit like that. That'd be great.
If only Brooktown High were to take off the way it should have.
Yeah, well.
All right. Well, with that, you've stacked up your money.
Mm-hmm. I have coins here that I just like to stack.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Because it's fun.
Why are they there, though?
This is change from that sandwich place. Because the sandwich place, when you buy a sandwich, it's not quite $10.
That's true.
So I always end up with a bunch of change because I don't want it. So I just stack here because it's funsies.
Okay. That's good for letters. We still have...
Yeah.
We're good. Let's...
I have a very small piece of news, if you could permit me 5 minutes.
All right.
Over the past 3 hours during the podcast, you saw me watching it when I came in. They've been doing a Final Fantasy 14 live letter.
What came out of that?
This is the gameplay one where they actually talk about stuff. I'm not going to. There's a billion gameplay things that have changed. None. You can look it up on your own. But the primary one that's of interest to the game itself, like you know the overall thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to feel about it, is they are introducing what is colloquially known as jump potions, which are the pay $25, hit the level cap.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Pay to win.
No. Not
pay to level up.
Pay to get to the end game.
Okay.
And that's the old one.
Yeah.
It's the 35th. 36th one is ongoing, so you're not going to find write-ups about it.
Okay.
It's like $18 to complete all the Realm Reborn stuff. It's $25 to get up to the expansion, and it's I think 30 or 40 to level up a class to 60. Not the cap, but to 60, because the new cap will be 70. And they're doing something interesting, which is until the first patch of the new expansion comes out, you can only buy one job level up. You can catch up with one, and they're actively limiting it. Because they don't want people to like spam the shit out of the upper levels.
Does buying to hit the end game, like in my head, how does that not ruin everything?
So here's the deal:
it sounds on paper like, as someone unfamiliar.
So there's like, two potions. Would. One completes all the quests that get you to the end game, and one levels you up, and you can mix and match those as you would. The reason why it doesn't technically ruin it is, one, these things have already existed in the Chinese and Korean versions of the game for like a year and a half now, and they haven't noticed that big of a problem. The other thing is that somebody who's played an MMO like this for a while, there are a lot of people who have every class to cap and don't know how to play a goddamn one, and that's today without any of this shit. People that literally just got carried all the way to the top and never bothered to learn. And
you're in a free company with people that...
No, you don't. It just went into Duty Finder and then were terrible, but the other three people just carried them.
Okay.
And raid content. Just like people get carried and you can do it. If you put your mind to it hard enough, you can get carried. And that's even now without any of these jump potions. And there are other people that I've known, like somebody helped them level or whatever, and... Like, or they've taken a year off from the game, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they hop right back in, and all it takes is an afternoon or two to relearn how to play your class. right? And relearn how to do encounters, right? The way they are pitching this very, very specifically is it is not for new players. Because if you want to go from new all the way to the end, it's going to cost you like $120. And then you're just going to be at level 60 and you're going to have to grind out to 70. So you're going to have to play through your class for 10 levels to hit the new cap no matter what.
So
it is not
the potion is one jump, one level?
Yeah. No, the potion is you take the potion, you hit the current, as of today, level cap.
Okay.
But the expansion is raising the cap from 60 to 70.
So
the level up potions will always bring you to the last expansion's level cap. You will always have to go and get it from like through this expansion's stuff.
I see.
So okay. You have to play your class.
You have
class
to play there.
At least a little.
Yeah, okay.
So people that are going to learn or care, they're going to do it. And people that aren't going to learn and care, some of them are going to jump all the way to the top, but if people don't want to learn, they're not going to learn.
Reddit seems angry.
Oh, yeah. No. The American community doesn't want the jump potions because the argument that Square Enix has made is that it's not a problem in the Eastern regions. And the response to that is, but Japanese, Korean, and Chinese players are not Western MMO players. The cultures are very different. And there's no gold seller problem on Japanese servers, period. You know why? Because Japanese players don't buy gold.
It's just
they just don't buy it.
Okay. There's just a different way to culturally play.
They just don't buy it. The okay. Japanese players on average do not buy gold. However, American players, they buy gold like crazy. So until they added a feature that you just hit a button to report those people, fucking places were rife with bots assholes.
Right.
And that's a culture problem. That's not the game. And it took like 3 years to get that button because it's not a problem on the Japanese servers where the devs play. Right? So people are worried that Duty Finder and Raid Finder and shit like that is going to be fucking absolutely trash filled with people who bought their way to the top in the West, but it's actually not going to be a problem in Japan. And so those complaints are going to get, like, ignored. That being said, this does solve a very real problem. FF14 has a really, really, really long main story that you have to beat.
And I remember when you were trying to squeeze your way through all different classes.
Yeah. Well, the different classes is not that big of a problem, but the main story is crazy long. It is now, like two full-length RPGs because the original game and the expansion and all the patches. And if you were to say, hey, Wooly, say you were like, hey, Pat, I would like to play with you and your friends and do endgame stuff, right? I'll see you in 2 months.
Okay.
When you get there.
Okay.
That's who it's for.
Okay.
Right? That's
was 120 bucks an actual number?
It's 25 for the story, and it's fucking 30 per job, I think. And
I think I just scrolled past the post that said 25 per job. Yeah.
And
33 in Canada.
Yeah, that's the big like real news. Like all the job stuff they showed off looked super cool, and they're changing a bunch of stuff to streamline the game. They ran into MMOs run into a relatively unique problem that, well, if you haven't played them, you probably haven't encountered this. Whereas as you level up, you're supposed to get new abilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what's going to happen? You're out of fucking keys.
Literally out of keys on the keyboard.
That's right.
Because every key is bound to something already.
Shift plus, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right? Then you have shift plus that. Then you have shift 2 plus that. Guess what, Wooly? I have 48 battle actions assigned to my character right now, which is just enough for the gamepad. And I have an entire extra like 20 that are just side stuff. And this expansion, they're going like, okay, well, you obviously all want new abilities, right? Well, there's physically not enough room for you to actually even fucking
buy one of
buttons.
Those extra finger pad things that you sent next
to your
keyboard.
WoW had this problem. All MMOs that go on for a certain length of time have this problem, right?
Hmm.
And especially with this game because it's controller users, and controller users have access to they have access to multiples of 12 buttons, like 12. 12, 24, 36, or maybe 48 if they really push it. So the big thing is
writing 48.
Yeah, 48. The big thing that they're going to do is they're saying, okay, we're aware of this. We're also aware that every single class has 5 to 10 abilities that are trash, that are junk, and you don't use. So guess what? Those are gone. We are just removing them, or we're rolling their functionality into other stuff, or we're changing how it works so you don't need it. There's a really annoying cross-class system in which, say you wanted to play a monk, Wooly, and you want to be level 60 monk and you're going to go into raid content, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the best skills for monk is a dragoon skill that dragoons get at level like 32. Go level a dragoon to 32 so you can get the one skill that you need to use on your monk. Guess what? That sucks, right? And some of those skills are vital. You need to level a black mage to 26. You need to level a gladiator to 32 because if you don't, you're trash. And guess what? That sucks. That's a pain in the ass. They've completely removed that system. And now all roles like tanks, physical DPS, ranged DPS, healers, etc., they all share the important functions.
When they announce this stuff, is it like rolling out immediately type thing?
No, this is part of the lead up to the expansion. The expansion's on June 16th.
Okay.
Well, early access for June 16th. I don't know if I told you, but I'm planning. I took that week off. I'm not working here because I need to do a 24-hour stream and die.
Yep.
Wish me luck.
In dying? Okay.
Yeah, in dying.
I hope you die.
That's good. Thank you.
Yep.
But no, this is all just like, because it was been really frustrating because they did all the promo events and every single one's like, they've been doing the promo stuff for, you know, 5-6 months. Every single one's like, we're not talking about battle stuff until May. The fucking thing's out in like 20 days. And now they finally said, and you know, everybody got their thing, like bards don't cast anymore and all that shit. But the big thing is the jump potions, which hopefully doesn't fuck up the game. I would not like that.
Yeah, sounds.
I needed to get that out.
Sounds bad.
And I figured I would bother just you, okay, since Matt was going to leave.
Okay.
I'm done.
So
thank you for humoring me.
No problem. So biking comes out this week. That's
good. Oh, what? Wow. Seriously?
Yeah. Can't wait for that.
Oh, wow. That's great.
And
you're going to be a happy boy.
I'm going to be a happy-ish boy, but I'm going to be sad because I'm still anyway, I have so much going on that I don't have time to, you know, fucking.
Well, I guess you don't really like care about biking.
I know, that's what sucks.
Yeah.
Is like, great, dude, you fucking picked up your life and moved it in the middle of a bunch of really cool shit. So
it wouldn't matter. No matter when you fucking did it, it would have been in the middle of shit.
It doesn't matter. You can't stop it. So it's okay. That's happening. That's what I'm looking forward to. And
what am I looking forward to this week? I don't think there's anything going on that I'm looking forward to this week. I'm going to play more of The Surge because it's awesome. Probably stream it. I don't know what days. I'll figure it out with Matt. We'll, he's doing it on Sunday. I'll probably do it on Saturday then. And vice versa.
Yeah.
I streamed that the fucking like at midnight the other night. And was like, guess what? Don't stream that game at midnight. You know why? Because you suck. Shit.
Are there difficulty settings?
No, fuck you.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. They have the one difficulty setting for that game is fuck you.
Yeah. Okay. No, good. That's correct. Yep.
It's super tough. All right. We did a pod. Like Matt said earlier, endings are hard. We did a podcast.
Yeah. And I don't know why this is getting asked a lot, because
why you hate video games?
I guess it was kind of obvious because I've been with them for so long.
Yeah, it's true. You know, when you need something new.
Yeah.
You need a movie.
You got to shake it up.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're going to do a Persona 5 spoiler cast once we're both finished the game.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's it.
Like, I like the part where the characters are smarter than the player.
Yep. I enjoy that. I don't like the part where that one character started acting really dumb. That got
the dumb annoying character.
The one? No, I was fine with. I was fine, and I'm having a moment right now where someone's starting to be a bit annoying and whiny.
Oh, where?
And I'm just like, hey, how about you stop whining? Because that's never fun.
How long have they been whining?
It's fixed now.
Because it takes like. It's really fast. Really fast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I started to feel that, and then that sequence ends immediately.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was the perfect amount of time for that.
Yeah, it's just that your motivations for being whiny were like
emotional
and terrible. Yeah, so fucking come on. You're better than that. I like you more than that. Stop it.
You're cool.
All right. Let's get out of here.
Go to sleep.
All right. We'll do that.
Okay.
But first, let me just play some music.
What do we got?